another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Well, 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. Hello, Teresa Strasser.
Hello.
Hello, Dave Damashek.
Word to your mother, Adam.
Oh, boy. Let's see. Teresa not feeling well, I hear.
Had a little food poisoning last night. It was a rough night.
What happened?
Well, I was feeling fine, and then I had a little tofu chili around 8, and then about 20 minutes later, I was just doubled over in pain for about 3 hours.
How many minutes later?
About 20.
It couldn't be the result 30? Of that. Then,
yeah, I don't think it'd be the food.
Do you think it's a virus or something?
I've had food poisoning. A food poisoning is one of these things where people attribute almost everything to food poisoning because you do eat 3 to 5 times a day. And then when you throw up after you eat, we're sort of like superstitious natives where you eat something. And then if you throw up 2 hours later, you go, oh, man, I had some bad tap water and some they must have been bad Cheetos or something. I guess I ate some bad Doritos and stream water because I am. And it's like, well, maybe you can just get sick. You know, sometimes you just get sick. Well, usually when you have food poisoning, it kicks in. Now, it varies depending on what you eat and what the poisoning is. But it's usually like 8 hours to 12 hours later. It's not immediately.
That's interesting. I felt sick right away, but I didn't start, not to gross you out, but I didn't start throwing up for about 3 or 4 more hours.
You probably just got the flu. It's going around.
Unless you ate something early. My old man always says, the doctor says that 12 to 36 hours for
36
for food poisoning.
Really? So
yes,
think
it's
back.
A long way off. Yes, it's, I would check even ate yesterday morning or the day, night before.
I got it a couple of times in my life, and I once did it under a clinical condition, so that's how I know. I know when I ate the bad food, I had a bunch of guys eating the bad food with me. I say clinical conditions. Later, we were at a strip club, and all the guys got it at the same time. We went out for a guy's bachelor party. We shot an episode of The Man Show. We all sat down at about 2 o'clock, as we normally would. Sheck, you were there.
Right.
We all would break for lunch about 2 o'clock. And somewhere about 2:30 that evening, every guy had the runs and was throwing up and everything. And it was times 20 guys. And it all kicked in within about a half hour of each other. So the point is I had a whole group of people do it. I remember what it was. It was clam. It was clam chowder. I don't even like clam chowder.
New England style, as I recall.
Well, there was something to it that was different, yeah. And the thing is I was sitting next to Kimmel, and I said, these clams taste bad. It was really my entire experience over there at the Man Show was I used to share an office with Jimmy and a guy named Daniel Kellison. He was executive producer. And me, we all sat in a huge office, and we would just argue most of the day. Actually, Jimmy and Daniel would argue, and then I'd be in between them. And I was physically sitting in between both of them on a bench. We're eating. And I said, I think these clams taste bad. And Daniel said, these clams are bad. And Jimmy said, no, that's the way they're supposed to be. Now, I'm not sure where he got this information, but anyone who knows Jimmy knows he doesn't need to do that much research before he makes a significant statement. I said, they're supposed to be this way. He said, yeah, they're smoked. They're supposed to taste this way. Smoked clams and New England clam chowder? Yep, absolutely. Smoked or not, they taste weird. They taste bad to me.
I declared, I was sitting catty corner from you. I remember it exactly. I declared after one bite, I said, this soup tastes of sick.
Yes.
That's exactly what I declared, and I pushed it away.
Now, we would have listened, except for he said, this salad tastes of sick, this brisket tastes of sick, this pudding tastes of sick, this gum tastes of sick, this Tic Tacs tastes of sick. He would announce that after he ate everything, and then he'd take a breath of air, and he'd go, this air tastes of sick. So,
give me more.
At a certain point, we had to tune Dave out. So now I'm sitting in between two guys. One guy saying, this is the best clam chowder ever. The other guy's saying, I don't think this stuff's so good. And I would sheepishly take another bite each time because now I'm curious. Is this thing What's wrong with this? Is this really smoked and I'm just not processing it right? Or is this bad? It tasted bad to me, but Jimmy's quite a fine chef and he's going, oh no, that's the way. I should really sue him for that. So I took five more bites and then I announced, I agree with Damashek, this taste of sick, and I pushed it forward. But evidently it was a few bites too many. I still got the runs later.
What was great about that, to prove his point, at least you got to say he's a man of principle, Kimmel, and a commitment, because then when everybody else, when we pushed our soup into the table and said no more of that garbage, he said, you guys are missing out, and ate everybody else's soup.
Oh, yeah.
So he was extra sick.
That is the good point.
And then we all got on one bus together to drive an hour away to this bachelor party, and you can only imagine both ends for a couple of guys. Everybody felt very sick.
25 guys on a party bus, and these are guys who do a fair amount of cheese cutting already. I mean, these are high volume farters. Now it is an overdrive at this point, and it just, if you didn't feel good already, you're going to feel worse now. Just world class ass work at play. Just guys blowing gas. They've disgusted.
This is making me feel a lot better.
I'm sure it is.
I had to do the thing where I wasn't sure I'd get to the toilet fast enough, so I just had to sleep with like my head like a pillow in the bathroom near the toilet.
Oh,
sad.
I would have never come in.
It crosses your mind. I had that when we, as a matter of fact, Corolla, when we were at the Super Bowl in New Orleans a few years ago.
Dave got sick, yeah.
I ate a bad oyster, apparently, yeah. And it hit me, and it was the football god smoting me. I shouldn't have gone to that suit. The Steelers were supposed to go, and they lost. I said, I'm not going, and Corolla talked me into going. He said, you must go.
Wow, it's a long time ago.
What's done is done, and I said, yeah. I will not make, Corolla won't make that same mistake twice, but... So I went, in spite of the fact that the Steelers weren't there, and I got the food poisoning as a result. I wasn't supposed to be there, and I was the same thing. It's the delirium sets in. It's the only thing that saves you from killing yourself, because the crawling to the toilet, puking, and then crawling back to your bed, and then having to go right back, you would shoot yourself if you weren't just so delirious.
Yes.
True.
Dave had a very bad last couple days in New Orleans.
Hold it back!
Did not put a dent in our parting, though. We still managed to scratch out a good time.
I respected that.
Thank you. All right, where were we? So, T, you went out. What did you do last night?
Well, yesterday I interviewed Bruce Willis when he was getting his star on the Walk of Fame, but that was at like noon. I didn't get sick till 8, so I don't blame Bruce.
How was Bruce?
You know, he was really charming. He's very low-key. He was nice, but you wouldn't believe the people who showed up at his... You've seen these ceremonies where the honorary mayor makes a speech, and Demian Ashton, you know, that was to be expected. But then Stallone, Costner, yeah, it was...
I wonder, yeah, I guess you have to show up if you're in town at somebody's thing, otherwise you're kind of snubbing them. And then what it is if they show up at yours, then you have to show up at theirs, right?
Yes, and also I think it's very promotional. I mean, he's got Die Hard 4.0, so the director of that was there, Len Wiseman.
You saw the first Die Hard yesterday?
Yeah, I rented
it. The first one?
Yeah, I'd never seen it.
So when's Die Hard 4.0 coming out?
It's got to be soon. They you know Kate Beckinsale's husband?
I'm trying to do some quick math. You'll be seeing that in 2046?
Well, yeah, that's just about right. Well, it was a weird time capsule because I thought this movie is all about a man who loses his wife not to another man but to her career, which was a big fear of men in the late 80s when that came out.
Yeah. Never mind, but yeah, I didn't have a woman, and if I did, she probably wouldn't have a job, so I wasn't worried about it. But yes, it was very 80s. So you'll be seeing it via a hologram in 2046.
Yeah, Die Hard 4.0, yes.
Awesome. Well, I like the Die Hard series. I can just never figure out why they don't show Die Hard 2, and they always show Die Hard 3. I'm going to come up with a long list. We've talked about it a little bit of movies that are never on cable, and I can't figure out why, although there must be a reason. They show Die Hard 1 all the time. Fine. Good movie. Problem is we've all seen it too many times, except for Teresa over here.
Once.
Die Hard 3, not a bad movie, but not as good as Die Hard 2, or at least I don't remember because I haven't seen Die Hard 2 in 20 years because they'll never show it on cable. They show Die Hard 3 all the time. You get suckered in every once in a while. You're flipping around the cable. You see, ooh, Die Hard. And then you go, and then it's Die Hard 3. And you go, oh, is this, oh, I hope this one where he's at the airport. And then you turn it on, he's in Central Park. Mm-hmm. under siege. They never show the good one where he's on the battleship. They show the crappy one where he's on the train, and they show that one all the time, but they never show the first one. There's a whole bunch of these. They don't come to mind because they don't show them, so it's hard to think of the movies that they don't show. But somebody brought up yesterday, maybe it was me, that Ray Liotta futuristic movie where all the prisoners are put on an island, sort of French Guiana style, and they have to live kind of jungle style.
Oh, yeah, I never saw that one.
It's about 10 years old. It was a nice action thriller. Never seen the light of day on cable. I'd like to get into this. You know, I'd like to figure out the ones that are most rotated, and there's some horrible movies that are just shown ad nauseum on cable. And then there's some really good movies where if someone brings it up, you go, yeah, no, that was good. How come? Yeah, I saw that, but I'd love to see it again. Never see the light of day. It's that way with music, too. Oh, my God. I was driving home yesterday. You know, I know you think this is all just to get into this topic, but this all just pops into my head in real time. I was driving home yesterday. I was listening to Jack FM. Everyone has this new Jack FM wherever they are. They, you know, plays the hits they want to play. It's this weird, eclectic mix of stuff you remember growing up and new stuff and old stuff. It's supposed to be cool. First, I hear Maneater. Right off the bat is Maneater. So I'm going insane thinking, really? And I'm always breaking it down like game film, listening to all the words about, whoa, here she come, and watch out, boys, she'll chew you up, and all this stuff. And think, really, who is this goddamn stupid that they would enjoy this horrible song? And then secondly, they get a vote? I got to listen to this stuff because either people that were really high. I mean, it's one of two things. Either program directors with mounds of coke or super stupid people being tested. Hey, Big Tad, what do you want to hear on the radio? I want to hear Maneater. As a matter of fact, I want a Maneater station. We play nothing but Maneater. It goes right from Maneater. Oh, jeez, I can't.
Don't tell me it's Witchy Woman.
Horrible 80s sax. She only comes out at night, everybody. Sung by two of the gayest men in America. I love that H2O album where they both get all real sweaty and put their pusses up against each other. That's a good way not to look gay. Let's take our shirts off. That must have been a nice pitch over at the photo session. Hey, Dave, we need a photo album. We need an album for our record. We got to take a picture. How about we take our shirts off, cover ourselves with sweat, and we'll press our noses up against each other.
The ladies will go wild.
Yeah, the ladies with penises will go wild. No, it goes into Loverboy. It goes into Loverboy, and what is their song? It's down.
It's not Working for the Weekend. They have another song.
Oh yeah, they had three hits in the in like a 1 year period.
Oh yeah, maybe four. Which is this? Which one is this?
Loving every minute of it.
No, this wasn't a hit, was it?
It's in the library. It's got to be at least it charted.
Yeah, this is not our library. This is like Jack's library. They're playing this song.
I have never heard this in my life.
I haven't either, but no, what's another Loverboy song? Yeah, this is it. Turn Me Loose. Right. Now, you got to listen to this. So I go from Maneater to Turn Me Loose, and I think, what year are we in? What city are we in? Are we in some small fishing village? This is what we're listening to now. He rhymes like my way with my way. This is the only song where they rhyme the same words with each other. I'm begging you, please. I'm on my knees. I'm making love to whoever I please. Didn't you say please 4 seconds ago, bandana guy? Let's just listen to this gem. Now, the idea that this ass gets played in this modern era and coming off the heels of Maneater. All right, fast forward a little bit.
I'm waiting for some lyrics.
Oh, it's 20 minutes of this.
Did they also, I'm trying to look up their songs, was Hot Girls in Love a big song for them?
Yeah, it was a hit. You'd probably remember it. Right, here we go. Born to Run. Great part. part in the song when he goes, I got to do it my way, but you're saying no way. Didn't you? You just rhyme please with please, and then later on, you say my way, and you're saying no way. All right, listen. You came around, you tried to tie me down. I was such a clown. Yeah, you tried to have it your way. Oh, no, wait. I lost my headphones, by the way. Did you hit something? Huh? I went off with my headphones a second ago. Let me try this again. Oh, yeah. I got a bad connection. I can't hear anything.
That's too bad. No, this but isn't good.
I'm really
music.
Dying to yell about this song.
You fix it?
Yes, no, something screwed up.
Uh-oh.
Something went bad with my jack here. I don't think it's my headphones. I think it's the jack. All right, Bruska.
Might be a good time for a break.
It would be if I wasn't so mad about this stupid song.
Well, why don't we take a 5-minute break?
No, I got nothing. All right, well, now we're going to have to take a break. Oh, lover boy, the guy programs for jack. You guys are so lucky my headphones just dropped out.
I don't think this should be let go, Carole. I think you should get back to
Are we still hearing this song?
No.
Something just happened to my jack. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. We'll get back to this. We have Amber and Cletus, a redneck couple. They're going to do a little CD review for us. Perhaps they know music more than the fellas over at Jack, who thought they would play Maneater and Turn Me Loose by Loverboy back-to-back at 1 in the afternoon out here in Los Angeles. Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Remember the family of the 800-pound woman in Tennessee?
I am 100% purebred redneck.
Well, they work for us now.
But you don't want to talk to me.
They're our new music reviewers.
I think it's gross.
Here they are on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, Brian. You keep that lover boy handy. No, I will get back to them. First, I don't want to keep Amber waiting. Now, Amber's the daughter of Peggy. Peggy passed away recently. She was the very heavy woman who was in the news because she was being abused by her husband and daughter. Not this daughter, the other daughter, Amber?
Yes.
How's it going over there?
Pretty good.
Did you mention you were pregnant with twins?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. And when are they due?
Around Christmas. Right after Christmas.
Right after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And where's Cletus, your husband?
He's right here on the other phone.
Let me ask you this. Cletus.
What?
I know you don't like me because every time we speak, I want to know why you're not at work. But why aren't you at work?
Because it's pouring down rain.
Oh, I see. You have no roof at work?
Huh?
No, he don't have no job if it works. He does roofing and stuff, building houses.
I thought he was a mechanic.
I am.
He does that, too.
Well, on rainy days, seems like the mechanic thing might work out.
Yeah.
It does. I didn't get up today to go do anything.
I see. Now, we'll get into the music review for a second, but first I'd like to review Cletus's life. He has three other kids. They're living in different states, and now he's got twins on the way, but he works when he feels like it. He's like an artist that doesn't paint. He has the life of an artist, except for he has no easel. Hangs out.
Also, I think he has a parole officer.
Yes. Well, don't worry about it, Cletus. We'll be paying for these kids as well. And wouldn't be within our rights as people who pay for these kids to tell you kids what to do with the kids. Can't you just give the kids to Madonna? How about you take some shoe polish to them and you drop them off at Madonna's place?
I'm not like that. I don't give my kids away.
Right. You'd rather ruin them slowly by having them raised by you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Your candor's refreshing.
Well, Amber, are you feeling okay?
Candor's not a car, okay. By the way, Cletus. Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, but I'm on bed rest for a while.
All right. Well, you got to rest them bones. Here we go. You saw a couple of, I should say, you reviewed some CDs for us?
Yes.
I must say that Amoeba Music sent out the music to you guys. They're our sponsor. AmoebaMusic.com is where you go. Amoeba, huge warehouse of music. If it was ever put on a CD, you can find it there, and they got the good stuff, too. So go ahead. Let's start with who? Beyonce?
Beyonce I like.
All right, let's listen to that. a hot chick. Uh-huh. And she's nice.
808. Yes.
You ever met Beyonce?
No.
I met her once at the Teen Choice Awards many, many years ago, back when they were desperate and they used to have me. Yeah. Before I made a masturbatorial joke in front of 13,000 9-year-olds, they used to want me. And before I pointed out to them that the surfboard that was the trophy, which they called the Woody, you've just won a Woody. Adam, you go out there, hand them the surfboard and say, you just won a Woody. And I said, yeah, but the Woody's a wooden station wagon that the Beach Boys drive in. It's not the surfboard. Surfboard's not a Woody. It's the car's a Woody. And they said, hand them the surfboard and call it a Woody. And I said, no, I'm not going to call the Woody. It seems stupid. The Woody's the car. The Woody's the station wagon. And they said, you'll not be coming back next year. But we ran into Destiny's Child over there, and they were begging to come on Loveline because they were 5 years old at the time. And sure enough, they did. And they were all sweet as sugar. So you like Beyonce?
Yes, I do.
So this one worked out for you?
Yes.
And then who's next? Audio Slave?
I think so. But I didn't like either of them two CDs at all.
You didn't like Audio Slave?
No.
Man, I figured that'd be right up your alley.
No.
Hip, edgy?
I mean, we do.
Gen X stuff?
But I don't like all that beating and the cussing and stuff. I don't believe.
Oh, cussing, yes. Especially since they say the kids can hear you through the womb.
I don't know about that.
When I say womb, that's how you pronounce room. It's a little pronunciation joke there. Come on, Amber. Where's your sense of humor?
I don't know.
That's a rhetorical question. You don't have to say. No, when someone says, where's your sense of humor? You don't have to say, it's either in the car or in my slacks upstairs. Hey, does Cletus know that Beyonce's black?
Yeah, I know this.
He likes her.
Oh, really?
He likes her boobs and stuff, yeah.
Oh.
Likes her boobs, that's right. Now, Cletus, I know that since Amber's pregnant, you know, you may be thinking her more as mommy than girlfriend or partner, but I don't want your eye to start wandering. You're not going to start looking at other women, are you?
We're finna get married.
When are you guys going to get married?
Next month.
Next month. So I'm just going to do some belly math because I just had some twins. Hey, maybe we can get them together for a play date.
I doubt that.
Oh, come on. You can show my kids how to play a cider jug. I want them to be culturally diverse. See, kids, these are what people who don't pay their taxes and crap out a lot of kids look like. Stay away from them. Hey, Cletus. Cletus, when do you meet with the parole officer next?
What?
Mm-hmm. When's your next meeting with the parole officer?
I ain't got one.
Oh, really? You ditched him, huh?
No.
I'm on probation and on parole.
Ah, such a fine line.
These are things you learn.
Yeah, us folks that don't break the law and just pay taxes, we don't know all these things like you do. It's interesting. See, there's so much you felons could teach us. Yeah? How much you putting in the pot today?
Can't have much by help.
Yeah, what day is it? Sunday?
Nope, today's Monday. Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. Although, what's the difference for you? Really? Don't worry about it. You guys just hang back. We'll all set our alarm for 3:30 in the morning so we can take care of your kids. That's fantastic. All right, so Beyonce we like. Audio Slave we don't like.
Oh, that's all right, but, you know, it's too hard for me. I don't like it.
Yeah, you got to think. And then how about the next one, Method Man?
It's too much cussing.
Too much cussing. This is him now, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
What up, what up? Up. They can't hold the fort, better hold that thought, B. If I can get it off, see my attitude is MSG.
You could go full 9 seconds without dropping an F-bomb.
Hey, your dudes, it cost me. Who acting like I'm past my prime? Ain't caught fist. Past the nine. Who wanna cross me now? And put my body in the lost and found. You with the business, then bust off a rap. It's like the passions of Christ. Get crucified just by having that ice. And the audacity by having that life. Why starving?
Aw. One minute he's talking about Christ. Next minute he's dropping some F-bombs. Wow, yeah, again, you don't want your kids listening to that in the early stages. All right, so we give a thumbs down to Method Man.
Yep.
We give a sort of medium thumb kind of like the Hang Loose, Hallie, kind of thing for Audio Slave. But Beyonce, big thumbs up, yes?
Yes.
All right, well, nice work. What's on tap for today, fellas? I know it's a rain day. What are you guys going to do?
We are going out to put some stuff away for his kids for Christmas.
Oh, that's nice. And what do you mean, put some stuff away?
Put it, you know, put it in layaway at Walmart.
You're not smoking, are you?
Me?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I smoke cigarettes.
No. Yeah. You're going to have babies in a month.
Well... Look, I got to be honest. It'd be real easy to beat you up, and I know Teresa and the rest of her bohemian friends get most upset over the cigarettes. Believe me, that is nothing compared to what these kids have to look forward to. We go sick in this country because somebody cracks a beer or blows a few butts during pregnancy. Half the mothers in the 50s and the 60s were chain smoking and drinking bourbon, and all the kids turned out just fine. We go nuts in that department. The part we don't focus on is the part where they're raised in this horrible environment. That's what will ruin them. Believe you me, if you gave me the choice between mommy drinking and smoking and then being raised by two loving people that had a few ducats in the bank and that could dress them and send them to school and give them a dental plan, that's what you'd want to do.
Everything they need.
No, they will. They'll get a nicotine patch. They'll have everything.
Pack of menthols.
When they get old enough, they want to, they can.
That's right. It's their prerogative. Look at it this way. They're already smokers. Why not just keep it going? And here's what I'm saying. You know, since they're getting the nicotine via your bloodstream anyway, why have them take 14 years off? You know what I mean? Why don't you give them a pack when they're born?
Hey, I'm going to cut this short.
Uh-oh.
It don't make a damn what we do with our kids.
That's right.
And what you do with your kids.
Right, except for
you want a redneck? I am 100% true and blue.
It's funny where you, it's ironic that you're true and blue. It's the redneck. Yeah, what about the kids that you don't see? Who pays for them?
We got them now.
Oh, you got those kids back. Uh-huh. And who pays for the court appointments and who pays for the court-appointed attorneys and who pays? Oh, with the S word again. All right, hold on. He's cussing more than Method Man.
Yeah, he was about
you
every
rarely
9 seconds.
Hear that.
Yeah.
Ironic. Because that's her biggest problem. She doesn't like any of the music with any of the swearing, and yet Cletus can't go 3 words without a swear.
And she can't go 10 minutes without a smoke, even though she's in her third trimester with the twins.
I mean, isn't it like 8:30 in the morning over there, and she's puffing on a menthol?
Yeah, I know.
I don't like to judge, but...
No, it's hard to judge. As a matter of fact, you can't. It's impossible to judge. I've learned you just can't do it. Look, everyone's beautiful. We're all God's children.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. You know, it's nice. This country's probably, I don't know why the smoking thing made me think about this, but it's quite a dilemma because I want to live in a place where we sterilize people like this so they stop polluting the goddamn planet. But the super liberal ACLU or pussies, well, they don't want any of that. They would never dream of that. On the other hand, if the person who lives above them in the apartment wants to sue them for secondhand smoke, well, they're all about that. They're all about arresting her because she's smoking. So it'd be quite a dilemma. On one hand, you have someone who's crapping out a bunch of kids, and I know they get to do that, and I know we can't play God, and I know we can't tell them to use birth control, but hey, super liberal ACL pussies, guess what? Mom is smoking. Oh, now you and Rob Reiner got a real dilemma, don't you? You got a serious dilemma. She's got a cigarette. Now she's a criminal. Now she needs to be arrested. What do we do?
Cletus is probably fired up by now.
I got him going. I know it's a rain day, so we can't work. Oh, I miss construction because those are the guys I used to work with. Good times. Where were we? Yes, I was making fun of music. That's right. Well, sort of on the topic.
Yeah.
I was driving home, like I said yesterday, through the second largest market in the country, namely Los Angeles. I was listening to a little Jack FM. They didn't play a nice eclectic mix of songs that they handpick. Some good, some bad. I mostly get irritated by it, but it's a little walk down memory lane for me. I heard Maneater, so of course I had to stay on it. I don't change Maneater anymore. I watch it. I, I watch it like you keep your eye on like a general from an opposing army. I sit up there with my looking glass and I keep an eye on every move he makes. So I listen to this, and then the next song that came up, a song that I forgot about. Song's a little bit off my radar because I do have some love for Loverboy. They're sort of campy Canadian, had a few good rockin' sort of anthems from the mid-80s, maybe early 80s. You wouldn't call it good music, but still fun music, and there's certainly a place in everyone's heart and library for that.
You've selected them to karaoke.
I certainly have sung The Kid Is Hot Tonight on more than one drunken occasion.
Perhaps you'll bless us all with your rendition soon.
It's possible. It's either that or Hell Is for Children, but... Well, let's listen to a little Turn Me Loose by Loverboy. Again, played in Los Angeles at 1 o'clock yesterday. He's a lone wolf. He's got to do it my way or no way at all. He's on his knees. He's making love to whoever he pleases. This is what we get to listen to. This is what's on the radio.
It's a lone wolf with a mullet and acid wash jeans. Right.
That's his way.
He wants to fly. Oh, did my button get pushed again? There we go, yeah. I want to fly, like when he announces I want to fly. A lot of people announcing they needed to fly, not physically fly, but get out of a relationship. That's how we used to talk. You were just a kid. Let's see, T, you're 29? Oh, you're 8 or 9.
I barely remember this song.
I'm here to please. I'm even on my knees, making love to whoever I please. Now he just repeats himself. I got to do it my way. I got to do it my way. You came around, tried to tie me down. I was a clown. Was this written by a retarded 4.5-year-old? You had to have it your way, but I'm saying no way. This is the S we have to listen to when we're in our cars? What is going on? How effing stupid is our society? Now, I know you jackasses do audience testing. You talk to stupid people and find out what stupid people want to hear. How about instead of turning us all stupid with them, how about we try to raise them up to our ground? How about we hear a little good music and let the stupid people get onto our train instead of us being piled on like cattle onto their retard train? Why do we ask stupid people what they want and then play it or show it or view it and then all the smart people have to dumb ourselves down? Or should we just start all beating the crap out of ourselves with a frying pan? Should all the smart people that have discerning taste, should we all just start whacking ourselves in the head right now with the frying pan so we can enjoy society? Because is this the way we're going to go? Because I'm going to start doing drugs and I'm going to start huffing copier toner if this is the direction we're going. And you pussy cowards always do this thing where you go, Hey, man, some guys like this song. And they're stupid! Yes, there's people that like lots of horrible things. We need to ignore them. You guys are program directors. You have college degrees. You're allegedly smart. Oh, wait a minute.
The kryptonite.
You couldn't carry John Hyde's guitar case. Think about summer.
Always works. Corolla gets all heated up. You think, how are we going to settle him down? And you start playing some Falling.
It makes it all better.
It's like hitting them with a dart.
Yeah, it is. It's a tranquilizer dart.
Why do we have to let I'm falling. I'm falling. Yeah.
All better.
What was I talking about?
I don't
tell him.
Why am I sweating? I love this song.
Everything's good in the world.
Oh. Yeah. My stomach even feels
what
better.
What were you talking about? Daisies or puppies?
Puppies.
Oh, I love my dog, Molly.
Wait, love. Lover. Lover.
Don't. Oh, yeah. I love my wife. I love my kids. Huh? What's going on? Oh, wait a minute. I remember. Hold on now. I'm pissed off. All right. That's enough. I want to fly. Oh. Wow. Jeez, I'm all red. What's going on? Was I out in the sun? Well, I want some sweet tea. All right, now where was I? Yes.
I just sucked one year of your life away.
That reminded us because we wanted to play. How did that go? I don't even know what it's called. Yeah, it's called a Piss Adam Off. Right, that's what it is. We've decided that that song was like when the old man starts playing the fiddle in front of Frankenstein. He sees fire, he gets angry, and the old man starts playing the fiddle, and then he calms all down. That's what that is to me. I hear that song, I calm down. So you call in, 866-901-ADAM. Tell me what pisses you off. It'll piss me off, too. Or what pisses me off. I don't know, red turn arrows, whatever it is. You call up, you throw out the topic, I'll get going, and then we'll see if music can soothe the savage beast after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Think you can piss Adam off?
You are ugly when you're angry.
Call 866-901-ADAM and find out. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Who's this, Cracker? Good song. Yeah. Cracker, there you go.
Good band.
There you go, Jack. Perhaps when you're done playing Turn Me Loose by Loverboy, play a good song.
They have to do it their way or no way at all.
And I know the program director, and if he hears this, he's going to get mad, but here's my response to that. Stop playing retarded music. We won't have a problem. And listen, it's up to all sane people. I feel like there's a silent majority of sane people out there, smart people out there. Folks, we need to unite and open our mouths and start yelling at stupid people and start yelling at those who pander to stupid people and tell them to knock it off. We're tired of it. It's torture for us living in a society that's geared toward ninth graders. It's very difficult. I got to see signs reminding me to do stuff I never do. Don't put your kid on the roof of your car. Use a child seat. Do not fall asleep on the railroad tracks. When you see those lights, when you see those big arms come down, those big metal arms and the flashing red lights, don't try to drive underneath them and then take a nap on the railroad tracks. How many signs do you see that are just insulting, that aren't for you, that have no value, whether it be knowledge or entertainment? Just, hey, put your seatbelt on. Don't abduct your kids. No elder abuse. How about senior abuse? Knock it off, Dave. I know you're thinking about heading back to Beaver Falls this weekend, beating the F out of your grandmother. Don't do it. Give her a weekend off. Let her heal from last weekend. Think about all the signs we have to do about not swallowing. Nice big print on the shampoo. Do not drink. Do not consume. All the things on the car commercials. Do not attempt. You're driving through an ice palace in your SUV on two wheels. Don't do this, Dave. Don't try this one.
But I really thought
no,
that
I know
cool.
You're going to try to take your Hyundai and jump Snake River Canyon with it. Don't do it. You know the extreme stunt, the base jumping where you say goodbye to your wife and your house that's on top of Mount Olympus, and then you dive off and you go down into the canyon and you jump into your SUV and take it on a dirt road to the place you work? Don't do that. Or if you do, be careful. It's a little warning.
I did hear that was a stuntman who did that.
Yes, they did mention he was professional. Look, here's the deal. I'm tired of being dragged into your retarded society. We just had our 300,000th or 300 millionth person in this country. And as far as I can tell, most of them are retarded. I'm tired of society being geared toward you idiots. If you guys want to park on the railroad tracks, I've now deemed it okay. This is Darwin taking out the garbage. Maybe you won't reproduce. And what can we look forward to? Because 25 years ago, we didn't have childproof lighters and caps and stickers everywhere and iron-ons everywhere. We didn't have the two-seater, $200,000 sports cars with the big yellow iron-ons that talked about putting the child seat in the front of what? The Ferrari? And what direction to point it? We're all being beaten down by all these rules that are geared to somewhere between lawyers and idiots. We all now must dance to the retarded Piper's song. I'm tired of it. I'm going to start opening my mouth. I hope you all do, too. Now, this leads us nicely into our next bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, I was on such a roll.
Get ready. It's time to piss Adam off.
Have we started? All right. Working them out, or have we got started on them yet?
Is this the intro?
That's all right. I'm angry. I got a head of steam. Now you throw out a topic. You get me going. You get my ire up, and then we'll see if music can soothe the savage beast. Craig?
Good morning. Adam for president.
Thank you. What's the topic, my friend?
Northbound 101 going over the Barham Hill. Traffic stacks up. Someone's going 40 in the fast lane on a cell phone.
Yes. And you call it the fast lane. I'm so glad because we've talked people out of the fast lane or the passing lane. That's given way to the left lane or the number one lane. Let's call it what it is. Let's call it the passing lane. Let's call it the fast lane. Look, I don't agree with those Germans and every political move they've made over the last 100 years. But one thing they do have right is they know how to drive fast and they know how to get to work fast. Let that lane be for the people that are in a hurry. Look, if you're on the freeway, the populace can be broken up into a few different groups. People who don't care where they're going, people who don't want to get where they're going, and then people that are running 15 minutes late for a flight. Leave that lane alone. Make that be for the folks that want to get to the airport, for the folks that are in a hurry. I feel... You ever going to come in with this music?
I thought you were
going to... Hold on a second. What's that?
I thought you were on a jag.
Oh, okay. I was on a roll, but what's this music in the background?
Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, I'm already mad about this music.
They were good.
Yeah, they're all right. Nah.
Now the bit doesn't work.
No, it's not going to work.
Now that you've settled down.
I know we did talk about it when we were talking about it yesterday, and I said, Brian, don't come in too fast with the music. Let me get moving a little bit, but... When I get to minute number 10, you can come in. We want to do more than one call, right? We want to do a bunch of those.
Why should it be different than any other game?
Oh, wow. All right. Wow.
Attacked.
Well, am I wrong about this?
You're not wrong.
Okay.
I like to roll some calls. I like the music coming a little early.
Okay. All right, we'll try it again. All right, here we go. Gina.
Yeah, hi, Adam.
Topic. Please.
I love you guys. Oh,
love
well,
you, baby doll.
I'm a little pissed off about the fact that Clinton defended my country in Iraq, and I'm cute, and, you know, I'm fighting the illegals over here. I can't stand that. It really pisses me off.
Well, we don't get to call them illegals anymore. They're just immigrants now.
Okay, whatever they want to be called.
Yeah, there's three...
The point is that I wouldn't want to be in their country either, not to mention anything across the border and all, but, you know, if they want to be here, do it legally, and I don't have any problem dying for my country.
It's nothing against Mexico. Mexico is a great country. Everyone's great. The politicians are great over there. There's nothing wrong with the system. In fact, it's a utopia. It's just that people are trying to tunnel out of the utopia. They're trying to climb over the fences. They're risking taking hikes in the desert in the middle of August when it's 115 degrees to get away from this utopia known as Mexico. No, it's a great place. The people are great. The place is great. The politicians are great. There's nothing broken about it. Everything is wonderful about it.
They might as well go to Iraq as far as I'm concerned.
Hold on. Mexico. I think about donkeys and the little brother piñatas filled with sweet candy. I think about Dos Equis drinking a Corona. I think the Ace Man's got a pee. And I'm falling. Let's push forward. I don't know what I was talking about over there.
There aren't any borders.
No. I'll tell you. Yeah, I don't want to hear that. Stop that. Stop that Rage Against the Machine. No, stupid cool guy music. Oh, yeah. We get it. You're angry. We get it. You're angry. Go home and F your models.
Yeah, it's good to help you get heated up, though.
Yeah, but it's too distracting coming from this into that. I think Brian's having trouble with that. It's screwing with my mind. Just get rid of it. Steve?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
What's up, my brother?
You know what really, really gets my goat, man? Street construction during the daytime during rush hour when they can easily do it overnight, like when they do the highways.
Yeah.
This gets in the way.
I can't figure out. Every time they do one of those studies, they figure out that Los Angeles, if that's where you're calling from, where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling 20 minutes north of Fresno.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's still Los Angeles. It's a huge place. we have the worst streets in the world. Whenever they conduct these tests, we have the worst streets in the United States, yet we pay more chicken-ass parking tickets than any other place per capita in the world. I don't know how this math works. I can't figure out, as far as asphalt and then filling the potholes with asphalt, you know how old this technology is? 1939. If you think about what asphalt is, it's just tar. It's just dinosaurs. It's just crap. It's the oldest stuff on the planet. We bring it from the earth, and then we pay some guy from Guatemala $8 an hour to spread it out, and then we drive on it for 15 minutes, and then it breaks, and then we shut the road again and do it. Haven't we made any inroads as far as technology with this goes? Can we have some sort of hybrid compound, some sort of polymer or something? Can we spread something down where if a kid fell on a skateboard, he wouldn't get hurt, and they wouldn't have to close the goddamn Diamond Lane? I'm falling
Make a time.
In love with streets. Think about highways, beautiful byways, and stretches of interstate. Forget about potholes, worry about your snot hole, and don't drink and drive, 'cause I'm falling, oh, I'm falling, oh, I'm falling. Anyway, who's on the phone now? Let's keep going.
Hello.
Tobias?
Tobias, this is me.
Yeah, nice name, Tobias. What's up?
Oh, none. Just want to give a shout-out to Mike Martin.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know what I'm fed up with? This is sexual harassment policy.
Yeah. Well, I never attended the meeting we had over here. Look, we were talking about it earlier. Put this jackass on hold before he gives another shout-out. But sexual harassment, a good enough topic for me to get going on. The lawyers have taken over. Every business you have to have a long, comical meeting about sexual harassment, the do's and don'ts. All these things are conducted by haunchy lesbians who haven't been laid in the last 20 years and who were sexually abused when they were young, and that led them into this field. But you must sit and listen to what these idiots have to say, taking up 2 hours of the workday, or you'll be fired. Why? Because you have a long history of sexual harassment? No. Because you've displayed some sexual harassment tendencies in the workplace? No, because the man told us to do it, because we're going to get fired, because we're going to lose our jobs. I want everyone within the sound of my voice to do two things for me, please. Please ignore the left turn arrows. When the light is green and the arrow is red, ignore it and turn left. And the other thing I'm going to ask you to do for me, for my children, because I don't want them to grow up in a society where we're all parked at left turn arrows waiting for sexual harassment meetings. How about you have to have some history of sexual harassment or anything, by the way? How about an arson meeting? How about a nice meeting telling everyone not to set other people's shoelaces on fire? How about a meeting for anything that we never did before this, you a-holes? Don't go. Don't go to this meeting. They'll fire you. Good. They'll have a lawsuit on their hands. Think about bull dykes carrying clipboards telling us what we already know. I think about the lost productivity that those chicks are eating up and how I would like to go. But I'm falling. Oh, I'm falling. Oh, I'm falling. With Zeus wasting our time. One more. Let's see. Let's talk to Art. Art?
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
What's happening, Art?
Man, we're just over here just feeling terrible.
Oh, you're calling from Phoenix?
Oh, man, we stink of the place.
Oh, my God. What happened with that game yesterday? I watched the entire game until there was about 6 minutes and 22 seconds left. They're up. Cardinals, who must have been a 19-point dog, maybe 20. I mean, no better team than the Bears, no worse team than the Cardinals. And then the Bears throw a pick with 6 minutes and 10 minutes left in the game. They're down by about 2 touchdowns. And it's at that point I announce to the old lady, I'm heading down to the corner to grab a bottle of my medicine. Yeah, either I got drunk and finished the last bottle and don't remember, or somebody's been nipping my medicine. But the point is I went right down to the corner, grabbed a bottle of wine, came right back up the hill, turned on the TV. It was 24-23. I was like, what? The Cardinals were taking the field. They just got a pick and went out of bounds. The Cardinals were taking the field. There were 6 minutes left in the ballgame. It's now 24-23. And then I cursed my bottle. You. You caused me to miss this. And I said, oh, I can't be mad at you. And we started hugging and making love.
I mean, the stage was set for a big night for us. Right?
Oh, I know. So disappointing, the new stadium. But then I started thinking about the quarterback, Matt Leinart. And I remember the story. He brought the kid out from Mississippi who had brain cancer. The Make-A-Wish Foundation flew him out. And he had dinner with Matt the night before. And now he was going to be at his first NFL football game, possibly his last. Who knows if he'll live to see next season. But he's going to see his hero, Matt Leinart, go out and make his second start, but have his first victory at home against the greatest defense in the NFL. And boy, when it got to the end of the game, I was picturing that young kid wearing his hockey helmet with his stroke cane and his walker up there, and I thought, there's no God! There's no God! This is how the kid's dead! There's in love with you. I think about her lacquer. Something that rhymes with linebacker. Pulling the ball from the edge. Three defensive scores. Those Arizona whores. Six picks.
And Neil Rackers.
Neil Rackers, yes. And I'm falling. Oh, I'm falling. Enough.
Piss Adam off.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, I think that's something. We'll work it out. We got it. Let me just give you a little heads up. Joe Rogan coming into the studio a little bit later. John Popper's going to be on the show from Blues Traveler. Oh, I love John Popper. We're going to give away some Playboy Mansion tickets, but
yes.
He's got the news coming up first. What's in that?
Well, John Mark Carr is falling back into the spotlight. He was on Larry King Live last night. I'll have some of that for you. Also, did Jennifer Aniston have a boob job or didn't she?
We'll hear
it right from her.
I'm going with just one of them. Take a quick break. Be right back with news and sports after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Yo, 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 it's go time, peeps. We got the Anna Kournikova of golf, Natalie Gulbis. Hey, the Jack Man sure would like to drive her, huh? Comedian Joe Rogan in studio. Ozzy reviews John Cena's new flick, The Marine. And more tickets to our Blotto in the Grotto Playboy Mansion Party. Bunnies, Halloween, costumes, swing.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
There's a band, the Smiths. Yeah. Now, that's something. Now I feel better. All right, T, I know you're not feeling well, baby doll.
I'm going to push through.
Trooper.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it took a lot of guts to drag yourself in here and sit there while I yell. For the last hour and 10 minutes.
Listen, I take one day off. Tracy Metro's in here, and I've never heard from again.
good point.
I'll be the Wally Pip of the morning news radio.
Yeah, where is she? Break that glass. Get her out of there. All right, well, without any further ado, Teresa Strasser in the news.
John Mark Carr, the former suspect, the former suspect in the killing of JonBenet Ramsey, he's now saying that he never confessed to anything. Here is a snippet from an interview recorded for CNN's Larry King Live.
Let's set it straight. Are you saying you never said you harmed a child?
I'm saying that I believe that you're leading into an area that...
But it's simple, John. You either said I did or said I didn't. I'm not asking
you
about it.
I am saying that I've never harmed a child.
Okay.
Saying it right now,
okay.
I'm saying that I would protect any child who I thought was being harmed.
Mm-hmm. And when he says harmed, he means not being sodomized. Let me explain something, too. You know how I would answer that? I would say, Larry, let me pose a question to you. Who's creepier, me or you? Phone in, I'd give out the 800 number, and I would say, look, if you'd rather sleep with Larry King or John Mark Carr, call, dial 1, the 1-800-999-1 for Larry King, and then 2 for me. I'd love to see that phone poll.
Who do you think would win?
I'm trying to think. Like, I think if I'm talking to an average woman, they're going, well, they're both super creepy. One of them is old and creepy, but the other one is a pedophile and creepy. Oh, I'll have a shot of Stoli, and you guys can surprise me. I'll go into the bedroom.
All right, well, Jennifer Aniston was on Oprah yesterday.
Who would you, T?
I was just thinking about
John Mark
that.
Carr.
Ugh.
Oh, Larry King, one night of passion.
It has to be when I have food poisoning.
One night of passion. Being raped by a buzzard or a pedophile.
Twice.
Oh, I really don't feel well.
And the only thing he has on, he puts his suspenders onto his underpants.
No,
on
please.
His old man, tidy whitey's pulled up extra high. Glasses, shoes on, dress shoes with black socks and garters.
John
sock
Mark
garters.
Carr is a better looking
guy. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with him.
Let's talk about Jennifer Aniston.
Okay, I think you've cast your vote.
She was. Oh, it's so upsetting. I don't feel well.
She Teresa was on and John Mark Carr
sitting in a tree.
You love him.
I don't.
You're into him.
I don't. That's
Teresa's new boyfriend.
This is horrible.
She said it.
Mm-hmm.
But John Mark Carr's handsome.
Mm-hmm.
It's just relative to Larry King, the Grim Reaper. Okay.
It's just one night. You're not saying you agree with his politics.
No, he's a talented journalist.
That's right.
Been in the business a long time.
Right. Oh, now we're on Larry. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Jennifer Aniston would like you to know, one, she and Vince Vaughn are still together, and two, she did not have a boob job, which is what all the magazines are saying. She went on Oprah to dispel the rumor.
No boob job.
No boob job. And where did that come from?
There you go.
You know what it's called? It's called 10 pounds. Here's what it is. This is the funny thing. You're either, oh, look at the bump, or the pregnant.
Yeah.
You circle the bump, and there's an arrow.
Yeah.
I like her strategy. I feel like if I ever get busted, if anything, or maybe John Mark Carr should have won on Oprah. No children! No pedophilia! And then Oprah would yell it in the background, not a pedophile! And then we just move on.
It's pretty effective, because I was dubious when I saw the photos. It looked like one. And then when I saw her on Oprah, I thought, no boob job.
No boob job!
No boob job!
Here's my thing with Jennifer Aniston. Give her looks a 7.7.
Oh, stop it.
Well, I don't want to call her, what do you want to call her, a 9? There's supermodels out there.
She is a 9.
She is
in the world, on the face of the earth, she is a 9.
Oh, no, not on the face of the earth.
In America.
In Hollywood.
No, I'm talking about in Hollywood, J.O. There are plenty of better-looking women than she is in Hollywood.
Still a 9.
I think she's a triumph of style.
Then, okay, I agree with Dave. We'll move it up to 13.
Okay.
And we'll make her 9. And then we'll make that chick who got pulled away in the tsunami, we'll make her a 12.
Petra.
However you want to do it, Dave. The point is there's plenty of women that are taller, shapelier, and more attractive than Jennifer Aniston is. 7.7 in Hollywood is fine. Jessica Alba might be an 8.8, and it goes up into there's a lot of supermodels out there. Or there's the, what's her name from the Italian Job, who's piping hot, for instance.
Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron. Maybe she's a 9. Whatever it is. I think I'm being fair with my 7.7 or 7.8 for Jennifer Aniston. In the talent department, another 7.8, maybe an 8.1. Don't understand the obsession, given those two numbers.
I think people relate to her.
Who?
Jennifer Aniston.
No, listen. You chicks want us to be into her and we're not. That's how it works. Go ahead.
Madonna.
Ew.
Placing her probably below a 7.7, I'm guessing, by that. She took her newly adopted baby, a 1-year-old boy, David, flew him out of Malawi yesterday. She actually wasn't there. There was a plane that landed in Heathrow. Some members of Madonna's entourage accompanied the baby onto the next flight to Madonna and her husband, Guy Ritchie. Now, here's the thing. It looked like the adoption was going to go through. Now, some human rights organizations and child protective groups are complaining, saying that they shouldn't have sped up the adoption process just because she's Madonna.
Right. Yeah. No, they're right. Who are you just because you give several million dollars to a country that's essentially a kiddie pool filled with AIDS? Who are you? You think you can go and drop off several million dollars and get some vaccinations and some condoms and some AZT and some other much-needed medical goods and foods for people that you can take one of the kids that was just going to get someone pregnant and probably get AIDS in the next 10 minutes? Anyway, who are you?
How dare you?
Yeah. Can you imagine? Close your eyes. Slippery slope. What if all the rich, wealthy, white people went over there and started adopting the people that were going to be homeless in the next 10 minutes and riddled with AIDS? Ooh, man. I don't want to live in that world. Yeah, it's a great place. Okay, it's funny because I was watching the news today and they're like, according to Malawian law, you cannot, but they made an exception.
Yes.
I'm picturing Malawian law to be a chicken with a powdered wig on it who scratched itself three times, which meant, yes, they're making an exception. Look, mom died of God knows what at probably age 29. She probably had a bunch of kids. They drop one of the kids off at the orphanage, and Madonna's going to drop off a few million bucks and take the kid back to England. So be it. And please, everybody. And if you want to know a real good example, Dave, listen up with all your liberal faggoty friends. You want to know? Yes, you, Dave. Listen to your Mighty Mouse, the rest of your hipster music, your Smashing Dumplings, and your Nervosa and all your hip music. Now listen to me.
Square.
Listen to me. Listen, Sonny. Africa's a very good example of how it works when you take an S-load of money and just start dumping it off into a place that essentially just wants to spend the money but doesn't want to change the lifestyle. They need to be enticed to change their lifestyle. They don't need corn. They don't need grain. They don't need medicine. Oh, yes, they need all that, but they'll need that for the next several hundred billion years. What they need is incentive. Stop effing people. Stop raping people. Start putting on a condom. Knock it off. We'll give you some money, but we're not going to give you money so you can go out and buy food. We're going to give you money so you change your lifestyle. Because otherwise, can anyone just close their eyes and imagine how much money we've dumped into that continent over the last 25 to 30 years? Oh, it's certainly got the country back on its feet now. Oh, it's moving nicely over there. It's Epcot Center. There's a monorail running through Africa. It's awesome. No, it's as bad as it ever was. What's the answer? Dump more money? Well, seems like we've dumped quite a bit. Hasn't exactly worked out. But your answer is dump more? All right, George Clooney. All right, Madonna.
Make you feel better?
You're right. Let's dump more money into Africa. That'll get it right back on its feet. Dave, you got any extra money?
I just want, as a reminder, I would like to say that there's an arch conservative who's lived in the White House for the last 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to tag the liberals.
He's a bad man, but let's just give Africa more money. And look, let's use that same model here stateside. All you flunkies that want to crap out a ton of kids, here's some money. We'll just keep giving you money. It worked in Africa. It's going to work here. The welfare work here.
Thank you, Brian.
Nairobi. All right, where were we?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Madonna donated $3 million to Malawi, and they show a lot of footage
the human rights groups. Well, what makes Madonna so different than everyone else? Well, how come Madonna gets a pass? Well, how come? Let me explain something. She gave $3 million. That's why. That's how the world works, everybody. Hey,
no,
why do you get to drive that fancy sports car? Because I paid $80,000 for it, Nimrod. That's how it works. Why do you get to stay in the? Why do you get to stay in the suite, and I'm down here in steerage? Because I paid for it.
In love. This seems like a nice way to end the news.
Sorry, baby Dahlia.
Are you ready,
Fired
Brian?
Up today.
I'm Teresa Strasser.
Yeah.
And that was the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Well, I think it's too late to start playing falling for the poor Arizona Cardinals and their fans.
Oh.
Bad, bad times on the Valley of the Sun. Monday Night Football last night. In University of Phoenix Stadium, by the way. That's the name of the stadium. They almost went with Pink Taco down there in Arizona. But instead, a community college.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Is that what that is? University of Phoenix?
I think it's one of those things where you can get your degree at night on a computer.
Yeah,
something
I'm almost positive
that.
It's online.
On the bright side, nobody on the face of the earth thought Arizona Cardinals had any chance. Turns out they were right. However, USC's Matt Leiner came out on fire, threw a couple of first half touchdowns. They were up 20-0 against the heavily favored Bears. All looked well through the third period. Suddenly the Bears score a couple of defensive touchdowns. Cardinals still in good shape until a little over 2 minutes to go. They get a punt return, the Bears do, to take the lead. Leiner still has not given up. He leads the team down the field. A 40-yard field goal. In the waning moments, no good from Neil Rackers. 2 weeks in a row that Neil Rackers blew the great drive, the two-minute drill
and
by Matt Leiner.
It looked good for the first 25 yards it traveled, and then God went, whew. That one is for the kid with the brain cancer up in the stands who's come out here to see you win, Matt.
Most importantly, it cost me a fantasy football win. Neil Rackers miss. Had that gone through, I win.
More importantly than the Make-A-Wish
kid,
yes.
For that reason, for the Make-A-Wish kid just underneath, and for many other reasons, Denny Green was fired up. Take a listen to him, head coach Denny Green, Cardinals, after the game.
The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
I'm getting worried.
What is he talking about?
I don't know, but I got to say, you know, we make fun of these coaches. Well, look at him. Someone's worked himself in a lather. I would still be talking if I were him. I would still be standing at the podium 17 hours later.
I like that. We haven't really seen that since Mussolini. We got to bring that back. More pounding of podiums to make your points. I say this.
Yes. And then folding your arms and preening. Yes,
great stuff from Mussolini. You gotta say, you may not have agreed with his politics. Charismatic man, though.
Yes.
Hey, that big fight we talked about yesterday between University of Miami and Florida International. All sorts of bad stuff happening. It sounds like Miami head coach Larry Coker is probably going to lose his job over it at the end of the season. 16 guys from Florida International have been suspended. Couple kicked out. 12 guys from Miami suspended. And even former wide receiver from Miami, Lamar Thomas, got fired. He's in the broadcast booth while the fight's going on. Take a listen to what he had to say about it.
Now that's what I'm talking about. You come into our house, you should get your behind kicked. You don't come in the OB playing that stuff. You're across the ocean over there. You're across the city. You can't come over to our place talking noise like that. You get your butt beat. I was about to go down the elevator and get in that thing.
All right, Dave, I feel like I need to chime in for a second.
Please, I don't
know this man, but former wideout for Miami. I think I've done the math. The Jews have been through a lot of suffering in their very long history. And you understand they're passionate people.
You can understand
and
why.
And when they see their former teammates out on the field mixing it up in their house, as the Jews like to say, then obviously the passion takes over. Now, again, I've not met the man, but I'm doing the math. I could tell by the sound of his voice.
Well, happy Yom Kippur to Lamar Thomas and everyone else affiliated with the University of Miami.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Here's the deal. If there's not a camera on you at any given time, there will be a microphone nearby. My kids can look forward to a world where we'll be able to pull up footage or at least hear a sound clip of every single thing they've ever done in their life. When something is going on, you just have to say this is a tragedy and just keep repeating this is a tragedy or say nothing. Because we've had two guys now fired in the last day and a half for opening up the soup cooler.
Steve Lyons with Fox baseball coverage got fired because Lou Piniella was in the booth with him and was talking Spanish. And Steve Lyons said that he was scared that he was going to take his wallet.
Right.
And then you heard the uncomfortable
not funny.
Giggling.
Hold on, Brusket. That is not funny. All right.
He's laughing at how racist it was.
No, how dare you? Because baseball's so important.
By
yes.
the way, I mean, there's a long history of that sort of stuff. Howard Cosell, you might remember, you know, he got in trouble when he called the Washington Redskins mm-hmm. Alvin Garrett. He called him a little monkey. He got in trouble. And then, of course, Marv Albert got in a lot of heat when he said this.
Remember was this? Hitler right? Yes!
And that's out of line. Why would he even say this?
Did he say anything else? I think he said...
Remember the Olympic coverage when he was doing the diving coverage. Mm-hmm. He said this.
Another perfect 10 for Greg Louganis. That homo is on fire.
Wow.
I mean, it was a different time. It's Q double entendre, I guess.
Yeah, on fire, flaming homo. All right, well, he certainly got the Jews and the homosexuals. I hope he didn't say anything about the black folks.
Well, he does do a lot of NBA coverage.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Kobe Bryant throwing it down with authority like only a colored man can.
Oh, what year was that?
Jeez, any more?
2 months ago, I think.
Wow. Oh. One more, please.
That's it.
Oh, okay. All righty. Now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're still giving away, old Joe Jackson. Yeah. Now I'm getting in a better mood. When we come back, we're going to give away more tickets for the Playboy Mansion on the 26th. We're going to be there for a little Halloween party. Also, sexy golfer Natalie Golbus. That's how it's pronounced, yes? She is the Anna Kournikova of golf. We'll tell you how to get those tickets. Bruskett, we still going to bring someone in here and torture them today?
We won't do it today. We're going to kind of recap what's happened so far, and we'll line up more for tomorrow and the next day. So if people want to listen to find out how they can get to the Playboy Mansion for our Halloween party, we'll talk about that soon.
Okay. Good time? A lot of fun?
Yeah.
Okay. Take a quick break. Right back after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM. They call her the Anna Kournikova of golf. Natalie Golbus on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep, she's on the phone right now. Natalie.
Hi, how you doing?
Good to speak to you.
Likewise, how you doing this morning?
Good. Where are you calling from?
I live in Las Vegas. Just got home last night.
Seems like Vegas, Florida, and places in Arizona are the places that folks are on the PGA or LPGA tour. Golfers and wrestlers. Wrestlers live in Florida. Golfers live in either Nevada or Arizona, yes?
Yeah, warm weather. Warm weather to practice in the off-season. Tough to beat.
Right. Now, how did you get started? And how old are you now, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
I am 23, and I got started. My father was just an avid golfer when I was younger. I just used to go out and play with him, pretty much.
I'm reading here that your dad caddied for you.
Yeah, he did in my one of my first LPGA events when I was 14 years old, and
oh man,
he just caddy for me now. But that was my experience for him.
I would have had a nice time with my dad caddying for me. I would have taken a ball and I would have thrown it on the ground. I would have said, "Pick it up, old man, and wash it, and put it back into my pocket." Thank you. And I would have pulled it out, spit on it, and thrown it back on the ground again. Now pick it up again, old man. A little payback. Maybe I have a bigger chip on my shoulder. So your dad got you going early. At what age?
About 4 or 5 years old. I just used to go out with him and his buddies, and just kind of started from there.
That's nice. We're going to crack some cold ones and talk about who's been cheating on mommy. Meanwhile, you go ahead and tee it up with your mini club. It always strikes me that golf is one of those things you need to learn early. Otherwise, it's just never going to take. I've tried it many times, and I'm as bad as I ever was because I probably swung my first club when I was 25.
There's just so much to learn, I think, with golf. You know, there's so many different little things, many different aspects of the sport. I guess like any sport, but
I'm the only one I know who was thrown off of a driving range.
I've never heard of anyone get thrown off a driving range. A golf course, but not a driving
range. Yeah, I was asked to leave a driving range. A place where they hand you a bucket and you whack it into a big screen and you can do no wrong. I was actually thrown off of a driving range and a go-kart track. Those are the two feathers in my cap. The guy told me, the man, I'm left-handed, which is bad, but the manager of the driving range said, if you shank one more into the tennis court, you are going to be escorted out of here. And then he watched me tee it up and put one right into the tennis court. And not the tennis court at the end of the driving range, mind you. The tennis court right beside the driving range.
That was it, huh?
Yeah, that was it. So now you had a little controversy about being so hot and doing something called golf. I think a lot of... it is very sexy. I know we say that we live in a society where we don't want our women to do anything but get pregnant and go into the kitchen barefoot, but I love a beautiful woman out swinging a golf club or a tennis racket or what have you. And I know not a lot of other guys. Dave, you share my love of beautiful women on the links?
I do. I love it. In fact, I'm curious to know if, given how attractive she is, if she gets hit on by any of her LPGA friends.
No!
Yes.
No.
Our tour is not like that.
No, really?
No,
when did that happen?
Tell that to Dinah Shore and her friends. Yeah. Well, look, I'm reading here that they banned her swimsuit calendar from being sold at the events.
Yeah, just one event a couple years ago. It's allowed now.
Scared the ladies from losing their concentration.
One event, so.
Oh, it wasn't.
No.
All right, so now your show is on the Golf Channel, which is entering its second season, at least your show is, tomorrow night. Tell us about the show.
It's just kind of my life away from tour, just all the different appearances I do and just kind of how crazy my world is away from the golf course and just what it is kind of like to be an athlete, you know, really how much travel you do and the photo shoots and the appearances and
how
the lack of time that you have. So.
Is there a, I know this may sound stupid, but there's not a golf season, is there?
Yeah, there is. March to December.
But then, wow, that's a pretty good size season.
Yeah,
and then
long season.
Yeah, and that's why I guess it feels like, to me, it just feels like you're playing year-round. And then you would play some tournaments, though, when you're not in the season, right?
Yep, you have specialty events. Like, I have an event in Singapore. I'm going over to Australia. And then you just have, like, this week I'm playing an event where it's Annika Sorenstam and I versus Tom Watson and Donald Trump. Like a made-for-TV event.
Oh, really? So interesting.
Got stuff like that, just kind of fun opportunities that you get to do as well.
You better win that one.
I know.
Natalie, on your reality show, do we get a window into your love life?
No.
No. Oh. How about a porthole? Just something. How about a mail slot?
You might have to watch a different show.
All right,
really?
Give us a look back, though. Give us a look back. You spent time with a dear, dear friend of mine, number 7, Big Ben Roethlisberger. You two made time for a little while, yes?
Yes. Something like that.
Can Dave smell your hand?
That's over now?
Yeah, we're just friends now.
I gotta say, I wouldn't remain friends with him.
Why not?
I feel like I would use him up physically and then move on. I don't need to talk with Big Ben. Do you know what I'm saying? Especially after the head trauma. What
Natalie
are you
is
talk
laughing
about?
Just a little too hard.
Yeah. Not the sharpest tool in the shed, Natalie?
No, he is.
Really?
He would be able to be a Super Bowl quarterback if he wasn't.
What do you think of his looks after the accident, though?
That's just tough. You know, you hate to see anyone get hurt, especially in a car accident or a motorcycle accident.
Mm-hmm. Are you currently single, or are you seeing somebody?
I'm single.
Really? Oh. Mm-hmm. Seems like such a waste. What kind of guys you into?
I don't know. Someone that's high energy. Athletic, tall.
Matt Leinart.
No. No more athletes.
Athletes.
You're done. Why?
I'm taking a break from athletes.
Yeah, but don't you think, like, you guys should, like, if you and Big Ben got together, you would make a super child. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, imagine how great that kid would be at Pop Warner football,
like,
or golf. Or
Reese and Laird.
Yeah, or Agassi and his wife.
Agassi and Steffi, it's going to be athletic kids.
Well, when I'm in charge, I will force you to mate with other golfers, creating a super race of golfers, super blonde golfers. I will force you to mate with Anna Kournikova, and you'll be like, but she's a girl. Don't backtalk me. Get busy. And then after a few years when it didn't work out, I'd say, one more time. This time I'm going to film it, and then you can move on to the fellas. Oh, what a utopia. So do you enjoy it? Do you still, you know, do you look forward to every tournament you play in?
Absolutely. That's the best part. You know, I love doing all the other stuff. I love to play in the different specialty events and the pro-ams, but more than anything, I like to compete.
And what about...
practice and all that stuff gets overrated, but
right.
Love to compete. Love to have a chance.
What about Annika Sorenstam? She, a few years ago, it seems like, she was going to make a run with the big boys, and... Mm-hmm. Everyone was saying, well, I think she's probably going to be able to do it. And she kind of did okay, but didn't quite turn into what we thought it would. Is that correct?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, she played well. She was trying to make the cut, and she didn't make the cut. And she said, I'm done. I don't want to do it again. I had my shot. I prepared. I played as good as I could, and the guys are just, they're good. I'll stick with the LPGA Tour.
Mm-hmm. And what about you? What about Natalie Gulbis? You want to go and play with the men at some point?
No, I like doing the specialty events, you know, like the event like I'm doing this weekend with Annika and against Tom Watson. And then there's another event where it's 3 LPGA players versus 3 PGA Tour players versus 3 senior. But we play from different tees and,
mm-hmm.
you know,
I
like those sort of events.
Yeah. I'd like they have the men's tee and the woman's tee, right?
Yep. And then your tee.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the one that's just on the fringe.
Yep.
Natalie's sassy.
I know. Golf is one of those sports where if you never tried it in your life, I would say it'd probably be the number one sport where if you've never tried it in your life and you just watched it on TV, you'd go, oh, yeah. Yeah, give me a shot at this because I think I could do this. I could definitely. I'm not saying I would win the tour, but I would make the cut. I mean, how many people they take? Oh, yeah. I could make that cut.
Look at that guy, Craig Stadler. He's morbidly obese. If he can do it, I can.
That guy's got a cigarette in one hand and a beer in the other. Please, I could do this. And then you go try it, and it's no way. And you try a little harder, and it gets worse. And then you really focus, and your ball goes behind you. That's how it works.
But it gets you going out to the golf course.
Well, you know, I try. I really do. But I end up just getting so loaded, I forget everything I learned. It just turns into one. I'd have just saved myself some money, get a 12-pack, and go to the park. There's a patch of grass. Here's some beer. You just walk in a circle and drink beer until you fall over.
I have a good idea. If Gulbis and Sorenstam can defeat the dynamic duo of Trump and Watson, how about they then come out to L.A. and play Carolla and Kimmel?
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
For all the marbles.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. You ever get out to L.A., Natalie?
A little bit.
You a fan of Jimmy Kimmel's?
Am I a fan of Jimmy Kimmel? Uh-oh. Yeah, watched a couple times.
Yeah, sure.
Let's do this. It'd be great. The two man show dudes.
Yeah.
Versus the two best female golfers.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that one's going to work out for us because I've played golf with Jimmy and he's marginally better than I am, I must admit, although he looks much worse doing it. See, for me, it's all about form, it's not about the score, but he blows pretty badly, too.
Yes, you both do.
Yes, thank you. I bought him a set of golf clubs because I lost a bet with him once, and I bought himself some beautiful titles.
But it'll be the Bobby Riggs of the 21st century.
Except for Bobby Riggs used to be good at tennis. We never were good at golf. Natalie?
Yes?
Thank you. Sorry you had to sit through that.
No, it's okay. Thank you for having me on.
Natalie Gulbis.
You're going to have to watch to see how we do this weekend.
Yeah, and we'll be watching tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, on the Golf Channel.
Thank you.
Natalie Gulbis Show. We will take a break, but I do want to give you guys a quick heads up on this Playboy thing. We are going to keep this train a rolling. 26, we're going to be at the Playboy Mansion. We're doing our shows. You've heard people have smoked the bong load of Tad's pubes. Guy ate his wallet yesterday. I was impressed by that. He came in right off the street. It was a wallet that was his wallet. It wasn't new. It wasn't made of bacon. He had all his stuff in it. We cleaned out his wallet. Ozzy barbecued it, and he consumed it.
You took one bite and spit it out.
I thought it would be good just because I love Ozzy's chimichurri sauce so much. I thought, well, hell, you could put that on Bill the Board Ops Pepe and I would take a bite out of it. But no, as a matter of fact, he tried that. Stuck it right through the bottom of the table. Yeah, it's an old trick. Point is, it was not good at all, but he consumed his entire wallet. Now, we have a new stunt worked out. We have the blow up the pomegranate in your luxury automobile, but we also have a new stunt worked out. We're going to do it tomorrow, Bruskett. Yes. I don't know if I want to sell it today if we're going to do it tomorrow. What do you want to do?
I want to just maybe line up a couple of people willing to do crazy stuff like that.
All right.
So
well,
we'll do that
if
after
you want to go to the Playboy Mansion, give us a call, 866-901-ADAM. We'll work it out. Joe Rogan is coming in. John Popper's going to be on. Ozzy got his movie review. All still coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Thursday, October 26th, we're doing our Halloween party at the Playboy Mansion. Guys, if you want to join us, you got to prove you're worthy with a humiliating stunt. One guy got a tattoo of tattoo. Yesterday, this kid ate his wallet. And it all started with this poor sap smoking a bong load of Big Tad's pubes.
Firing up the bong. Oh, look at that. All right, now he's not. He let the carb go. It's in his lungs. Exhale.
Check the video footage at adamcarolla.com. So what would you do to get into the Playboy Mansion? Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
What song is this? Sounds kind of familiar. No. This is
Hooters?
This is a Hooters? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think I like it. We had a guy get a tattoo of Don King, too, under his arm. And then when he raised his arm, his pit hair made Don King's hair stand up.
You can look at that at adamcarolla.com.
Thank you, David. It's a handsome tattoo. So what do we have left? Well, I want to do the pomegranate grenade. I want to blow up a pomegranate in your very expensive car. Put it right on the center console. Put the chairs, tilt seat backs, and then all over your Corinthian leather and headliner. This is the one I'm most excited about actually viewing. I picture lighting the fuse to the M80, shutting the door, and just standing back with nervous anticipation when that thing blows, and it will be covered. What do we have left? Well, one thing we want to do, and this one sounds maybe less impactful than eating a wallet or doing a bong load of pubes, but I say the psychological repercussions of this next stunt will go on for years. Yeah, you can do a bong load of Tad's pubes, and maybe that'll live with you throughout the day, maybe into the next week, but eventually you're just going to hack up a nice loogie and Tad will be gone. But this next one, this is the kind of thing, this is like being raped by a priest when you're 9. This goes on. You'd be 75 years old. You remember it clear as it was yesterday. This is the song. Let's hear the song. Yes. This is John Mark Carr's version of this song. Now, picture yourself wearing in a sensory deprivation type situation, blindfolded, like a hostage. And this is on a loop. And it's in headphones. And we're going to get them the good Bose ones. Get them the ones that take... You know when headphones take a battery, they mean business. It's just like my razor. When you're putting a battery in your razor, that razor means business. And this thing is going to be on a loop. And we're going to play it for 4 hours. You're going to have to sit in here blindfolded. And I can't even imagine what the math is, but this is only about 8 seconds long. So over the course of 4 hours, you're going to hear it 70,000 times, and it will be burned into your psyche.
Clockwork Orange.
That'll be it. That's right. Oh, maybe I'll blow a little cigarette smoke in your face or have you read a prepared statement. When you're all done, I'd like you to read a prepared statement. We'll put it on adamcarolla.com. But
I have been treated very well.
Yes,
praise to Allah. Praise to Ace Man. The point is when we're done with these 4 hours of this being repeated in your head, you will have Playboy tickets. You will also have serious psychiatric trauma done to you. I don't know that you'll ever be able to erase this. No. I don't know that you'll ever be able to hear this again. I feel like it'll be like one of those movies, those Bronson movies from the 70s, where I'll be able to call you up 10 years from now and just play this into the phone. And that'll be your time to kill the president. You'll do that thing where you give the 5,000-yard stare and you put the phone down and your wife says, "Who is that?" And you go, "Wrong number." And then you go get the gun and head out of the house. Whatever happened to those movies where we program people to kill? Wasn't that going to be the future?
Naked Gun's the last time we saw it with Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, but seriously, you know, according to the scientists or the movie or the script writers from 1974, we can look forward to a time when all we had to do was let a pager go in a phone, and that would be the part that would trigger the killing. This is the society we're going to live in. I remember watching these movies when I was 10 going, well, I'll probably marry somebody and have a boss in the future that's programmed to kill when they hear falling. So we're looking for people to come in and do this. Now, we have a lot of people that are wanting to volunteer themselves for stunts. John?
Hey, Adam.
You're willing to go through this?
Hell yeah.
Now, you live in Phoenix.
That's true.
So you can get here in about 5.5-6 hours?
Yep, I have to work today.
Now, where do you work?
I work at a defense contractor.
What do you do?
I'm a software engineer.
Mm-hmm. Which contractor are you with?
General Dynamics.
Mm-hmm. All right. I've seen the place, helping America bomb non-whites for over a quarter century. So now you'll drive down here.
Yep.
Which means if you leave after work today, you'll arrive here somewhere in the wee hours. You're pretty much going to pull an all-nighter, right?
Yeah, more or less.
Then we'll bring you in here. We'll put the headphones on. We'll put the blindfold on. And you'll hear this for 4 hours. Listen, could be worse. Could be Maneater. Could be Loverboy. Could be tuned into Jack listening to Maneater followed by Loverboy. All right. And I feel like you will be extra porous at that point. I feel like this will definitely fill your brain because it will not have a good charge on it. It'll be weak from staying up all night. And then every time you close your eyes for the next 10 years, you'll hear this song.
Well, Adam, is he allowed to fall asleep? Do we try to keep him awake? Or does it just invade his dreams and that's just as bad?
I think it's going to be difficult to figure out whether he's awake or not while he's wearing the blindfold, although Big Tad could poke him with a stick.
No, after 3 hours, I might go catatonic.
I feel like Tad should poke you with a stick every 15, 20 minutes or so.
Sure, at regular intervals.
Yeah, regular, but irregular enough so that you can't time them. And then we'll have you read a prepared statement once we take the blindfold off.
This is so diabolical.
And you will forever be poison. And I know it seems like fun now, but wait till your marriage crumbles and you're fired.
This might really cause some long-term emotional issues.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that risk.
Yeah. It'll be great, too, when you're at the Playboy Mansion a week and a half later and you're making time with one of the beautiful Bettys at the bar. And you're like, hey, sweetie, you know, I'm falling. No, I'm falling. And she's like, can't you just order me a drink? No, I will. I want a Fresca. Oh, a Fresca. And you're like, oh, no, I can't get it out of my mind. And your buddies at work are asking for some spreadsheet or some chart. And you're like, I'm doing the math on a gyro guidance system. No! Oh, this is going to be good. Well, I like you.
Oh, thanks.
Just enough to destroy your world. So,
not coming from you, Adam.
When do you get off work?
I get off work at 5.
Mm-hmm. And then you get in your vehicle and you drive out to California?
All I need are directions.
Well, now, let me ask you this. Are you going to come out early and try to find a motel at 2 in the morning or something like that? Or are you going to wait until, you know, midnight and then drive out so you can get here at 6 a.m.?
Yeah, I'll probably come out. I'll probably try and find the motel.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm not sure if I go with that strategy. I think I would go home, take a nap, relax for a little, try to cleanse my mind, and then hit the road about 11, 1130 and just come straight to the studio.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I made that mistake.
What do you say? I agree.
Yeah, all right. That's good. All right, you're in. Ask Kiss Rodeo.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo! You know, you forget about checking in. I made this mistake once. I got a whole bunch of buddies when I was like 23, and I was like, we're going to Vegas. We had some improv show to do or something. When we're done with that, we're all going to pile into the Honda, and we're going to Vegas. This is going to be awesome. We cut out about 12:30. We rolled into the casino about 5:10, and we thought, well, we'll gamble for an hour, and then I'm exhausted. I've been up all night. We'll check in. Walked up to the check-in about 6 a.m. That check-in time's 2 p.m. That's in 126 hours. Yeah. I think I'm going to collapse, though. Well, we can do an early check-in. You can do it in 9 hours. Yeah. I never thought about this part. You're right. So then we went to go get something to eat. That burned up 45 minutes. And then it was back to play some more nickel slots. That burned up 18 minutes. But now it's like, well, let's go by the pool at 6:45 in the morning. And we'll just lie there for 9 hours until it's time to check
in. Yes, but it's always 9,000 degrees. I've done this where I took a little nap on the couch in the lobby. And then a security guard pokes you with a stick. It shames you.
I'm just saying, you think you're going to just pull in and check in, and you can do that in a horrible motel. But again, just make sure it's not so easy. You have to wake people up. It's 3 in the morning. You've seen enough horror movies to know that's not the greatest plan in the world. I say sleep on your comfortable bed and then just drive out. Go all night. Your brain will be nice, soft, and pliable. I'll get to throw it on my potter's wheel and turn it into an ashtray. And this is what you'll hear for 4 hours.
How many times is he going to end up hearing this? Like 14,000?
Well, we should do the math. Workout. It's about 8 seconds long, so I imagine we could hear it about 7 or 8 times in the course of a minute, and then in the course of 10 minutes, that would be about 80 times. So I guess in about 12... So we'll crunch these numbers, but it'll be into the thousands, and it'll be through the commercials, and there'll be no break. There'll be no break.
Does he get in shape by listening to it a little bit on the way here?
1,800 times.
Ugh.
1,800 times
you
just figured
more?
Out.
1,800?
Feels like it could even be more than that in 4 hours. Maybe it's 18,000 times. Yeah. Point is when you're done, we'll remove the blindfold. You can read your prepared statement. Then you can get back in your truck, and you can drive off a bridge on your way back to Phoenix. That's the way I feel it. As a matter of fact, I feel like you should wrap your tickets in foil in case you get into a fiery head-on collision so that others could use the tickets for the Playboy Mansion. That's the way you would have wanted it.
Priorities.
And people will say he died doing what he loved, being brainwashed by a retarded
morning. They'll play that at the funeral.
Radio guy. Yes. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Oh, wait a minute. Nathan, the guy who smoked the bong load of Tad's pubes, is on the phone. Nathan?
Yeah.
How are you holding up?
Well, yeah, I was just wondering, smoking pubes is a lot worse than almost everything that's been going on so far, but now I just heard this one and it's not so bad.
Well, you got to say, that guy who ate his wallet was, what you went through was disgusting, but it lasted 10 seconds. The guy who ate his wallet was struggling with it badly for about 2 hours, and the guy who gets the pomegranate blown up in his car is going to be cleaning it up, well, for the next 100 years. I mean, he'll do the first cleanup, but he'll find some weird stuff under the headliner or in the dome light, or he'll reach up to shut the dome light or something, and a chunk of pomegranate seed will fall on him. And the tattoo of Tattoo and the tattoo of Don King, that's going to go on forever.
Right. Yeah, I guess it's not so bad.
Cry me a river, buddy. No, I mean literally. Start crying. Where were we? That's right. We're going to take a break. Is it 1,800?
Yeah.
Oh. 1,800 doesn't sound like enough. Okay. 1,800 times, so says Brian, sound effect guy. Play that little thing that means you're right again, Brian, please. There you go. Good boy. We'll take a quick break. John Popper from Blues Traveler is going to call in. Joe Rogan is coming in studio. We'll do all that after this.
Shorter breaks, longer rants. More Adam after this. The Adam Carolla Show. To the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM. The new release from the frontman of Blues Traveler, the John Popper Project. Everything. John Popper on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, one of my favorite artists, John Popper. Let's see. My phone's locked up. Maybe he's not on the phone yet. Let's see. Kyle, yes. Free him up. John?
Hey.
Hey, good to talk to you.
How's it going?
Good, John. I miss you.
I know. I miss you, too. I hung out with your wife at the Roosevelt.
You son of a bitch.
That was me at the hotel in L.A.?
Yeah, I think she said she saw you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was in a crowd of people. Don't worry, you know.
You nailed my wife in a group.
That's what he's saying.
I know. It was. Well, see, that's why you can't pin it on me. It's a DNA thing.
That's right. It's Bukkake.
Yeah.
All right, so, John.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, one of my favorite John Popper stories is that he has a cannon in his front yard, and he likes to shoot cans of dog food into neighboring counties. You still doing that?
Yeah, I moved to Snohomish, Washington, outside of Seattle, but I brought the cannon with me.
Cradle of rock and roll, Snohomish.
Yeah, I know.
That's where all the great blues players are from.
It's named after the winter hooker.
And you brought your cannon with you.
Yeah, oh yeah. Because, you know, there's dog food that needs to be spread all over this country.
That's right. And now, did they use dog food in the Civil War? I'm no historian. How did it work?
I like to think that they, they turned each other into dog food in the Civil War. But, they had to feed the dogs something.
And how does this work? Seriously, is the bore of the cannon just right for the can of
dog
food?
No, that's why you use a can, because it's a rough barrel. Mm-hmm. If you want to pay all kinds of money, you can get a rifled barrel, and then you can put like a cannon ball in there, which is like heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll spin, so it'll fly well. But with a rough barrel, you've got to stick a can in because it's got to be light.
Mm-hmm. And how much distance can you get on a can of dog food?
About 1,000 yards using safe amounts of powder.
you single still, John?
Yeah, I'll be enough.
That's
yeah.
Shocker. Can't believe that there's not a woman that wouldn't be attracted to a guy who wanted to spend the weekends firing cow can into the neighbor's yard.
My ex is staying at my place while I'm gone, and she's going to have to fix the cannon because, you know, the wheels are getting a little saggy.
Sure, she knows the deal. She gets
the
big screen
Canon repair guy.
Yeah, you get the big screen TV, but you got to take the wire brush to the Canon and WD-40 the wheels.
Yeah, who do you call for Canon repair? AAA.
I guess that's a good point. Yeah. So John, let's talk about the new album and the new band and all that stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, are you going out on tour?
We're starting tonight in the Canal Room in New York City, and then we go, where do we go? Atlantic City, then Princeton, then Baltimore, and I think we're heading to Seattle. Oh, we're doing a video at I think it was going to be the Hustler Club or something like that. One of our songs is called Lap Dance.
Ooh, finally.
And, somebody wants to make a little video out of that, so.
Well, if those of you have not seen John Popper playing the flesh, it is impressive. Virtuoso. And so for so many years, seeing these guys like Bob Dylan just cramping into the kazoo, I'm tired of it. I never did understand it. Anytime the guy pulls out the thing that, well, he pulls the harp up to his mouth via the contraption. Yeah, that is essentially like seeing the walker come sitting next to the car in the parking lot. You know this isn't going to be good. Whoever's getting out of that car is not going to be in good shape.
You know, that's very well said, because when you see that harp holder, it's basically true.
I don't want to be a snob. I know it sounds like I'm just kissing ass, but I feel when Bruce Springsteen or Bob Dylan pulls out the harp, they set themselves back a few notches on my musical belt.
It does drive me a little crazy sometimes.
Yes,
too.
Because you can play.
Have you heard that new kid, L.D. Miller, this little 13-year-old who's on America's Got Talent?
I've heard of him, but I don't think I've heard him play. Is he good?
He really is. I mean, he's 13, so, I mean, his phrasing isn't all that it's going to be, but his chops are amazing, and he gets this look like a shark biting into a piece of meat when he's, like, playing. His eyes roll up like a doll's eyes.
Yeah.
So you tune in for the hop, and you stay for the harmonica kid.
And I look at him, and I think, that's exactly how I play. I bite into the harp like I'm eating a really delicious sandwich.
I'm sure that he was inspired by you. He must be a fan of yours.
Oh, yeah, and he's really cool. And I think we're doing Sesame Street together in November.
Wow. It's going to be sad later on when you have to kill him when he starts getting better than you.
No, are you kidding? I get to take credit for him now.
Oh, yeah.
Better, I am now his customado.
Better better angle and a nice timely Tyson reference there.
Yeah, you play with him, and then before you know it, everything he does is your responsibility.
So how did you get started? You must have been a lonely child.
I had a lot of free time. But yeah. there were seven kids in our family, so lonely isn't quite the word.
Mm-hmm. I see you had a lot of brothers and sisters, but you had a lot of free time, and you poured that into the harp.
Well, I was in the basement watching TV, and you just keep the volume low enough so you can play, but, yeah.
If you didn't play for a year, you never picked up a harmonica for a year, would you be just as good? Do you need to, is it the kind of instrument you need to keep playing to keep your chops, or will you just always know it?
I think it's like a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you'd figure, I'd probably need to warm up eventually, but, you know, I think it'd all come back.
Right.
I've been playing it for 20 years, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm going to hear But Anyway in my head for the rest of my days.
Yeah.
And Run Around and Hook, I mean, that's ingrained in my ear canal.
Well, when you guys go out, when you do the John Popper Project, do you do a lot of Blues Traveler songs?
Almost none. And, in fact, we're playing our first gig tonight, and the record was made so on the fly that we don't really know how the songs go at all.
But you're pretty good at covering.
That's what we're going to do. Yeah, hopefully the covering is going to be the entertaining part. We have to steer into the skid with this. We don't have time to rehearse, so who needs to rehearse?
How's your weight doing? You've lost a ton of weight, have you not?
Yeah, I'm keeping it off.
You are?
I'm hanging tight around 265.
And where were you bulging big at?
What do you mean?
When you're at your heaviest.
Oh, where was I at? I was 436.
436. So you've lost, was it 150 pounds or something?
Yeah.
Or more?
Yeah, I think it was like 180, something like that.
Wow. And you had that gastric bypass?
God bless it.
It worked for you, huh?
It worked really well.
Because nothing else was going to do it.
Oh, I was going to burst. I mean, there's a technology that actually makes you want to eat reasonable amounts of food, or else you'll just want to puke.
We're talking to John Popper, of course, from a Blues Traveler, now from the John Popper Project.
Only there was an operation to make you quit smoking, though.
Well, it is. It's called death. It's called cancer and death.
Isn't it the cure for life anyway?
Yes. Speaking, I don't want to get morbid, but I love blues. I love Blues Traveler. Who was the bandmate who passed away a few years
Bobby
back?
Sheehan.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
And that was around when I got the bypass, because I just had an angioplasty right before then. Mm. I was 95% blocked.
Really?
In one artery, and then a month later, Bobby died.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. The whole Blues Traveler band, I did something with them over at the House of Blues with Gary Busey, I believe.
I remember that.
Speaking of blocked, his arteries in his brain that are blocked, but it was me.
He brought a guitar that Buddy Holly played.
Right.
And he gave us this lecture, and the thing is, if you start to not pay attention, he'll stop and, you know, wait.
Yes, he will hit you with the guitar like El Cabong.
He's like, no, listen. This is a magical guitar.
Yes, Buddy Holly's actual guitar. Gary Busey, who needs to go into the Blowhard Hall of Fame. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that could literally take a schooner and just blow it across the Pacific with the hot wind that comes out of his mouth.
Well, I ain't going to mess with him, though. He's got that crazy look in his eyes.
He's got a crazy look, and this was a guitar that the widow of Buddy Holly actually presented him, and he was going to play it badly, but he was going to play it in a room where I was dying for Blues Traveler to play something.
Well,
but
I think she genuinely just gave him the guitar because he wouldn't leave otherwise.
I feel like if Gary Busey showed up on your porch, you would give him a piano,
or you
would give him the urn with Grandpa in it.
We don't have much money. Take this guitar, please.
Take some fillings and what meager belongings we have, and please leave our property. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, and then he just loped off.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to hook up with Gary Busey, and I'm just going to travel the world getting beautiful artifacts, or he'll not leave.
I think that's why they put the gate around Graceland. You know, he already tried to scale the walls to get out.
Busey wouldn't get out of there. All right, and so that was a surreal moment. I think that must have been, well, what year do you think that was, John?
I want to say 97, 98, maybe.
Yeah. It was. Oh, you know the other guy that was in that?
Kevin Dillon was there.
Kevin Dillon from Entourage was another guy. I don't even know what it was called. It was for a pilot that I don't.
Yeah, what was that surreal show that was?
I have no idea. I had such.
Kevin and Gary.
I had such a contact buzz listening to Gary Busey
do his. You guys are cops, I think, in the show.
That's right.
You take care of a baby at home, but you solve crime.
That's right. I play by the rules, but he's a rogue who does his own thing.
Gary's the crotchety old grandpa.
John Popper is going to be at the Roxy out here on November 3rd. I would be so excited, John. I will be there.
And we will be, I'll come and hang with you anytime.
Please, John Popper, if you will come in here in studio and bring your harp. And
yeah,
not
I'll
only
bring a harp. I don't have one this morning. I got mugged last night.
Well, not only the harp, you didn't get mugged, did you?
Well, not really mugged. I mean, just, for harps.
You bring the harp, and then you bring this custom leather vest that he wears that has all the different keyed harps in
it. It's like a hoop skirt now. When I lost the weight, the little vest thing, that had to go.
Oh, you don't wear that anymore?
No, I play out of the suitcase.
Well, should be at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Nay, the Smithsonian.
Oh, see? Listen to you. All right, listen to him.
Along with the fat guy hat you used to wear.
Oh, I still got the hat.
Oh, you still wear the fat guy hat.
That's the only way they recognize me anymore.
Hey, who's the guy wearing Popper's fat guy hat?
I get that a lot. I get it. You get that Blues Traveler guy.
What did you do with the Blues Traveler's fat guy hat? All right, so John, we'll see you in here again on the at the Roxy November 3rd. I'm going to go to that show. Joe Rogan's coming in here next. John Popper, the John Popper Project, featuring DJ Logic. In stores now. Always good talking to you, my brother.
Likewise, friend.
Look forward to seeing you soon. And please, I'll tell you, when he comes in here and he pulls out that harp and he starts wailing away, it is such a treat.
Go see Popper. He puts out. At least that's what Adam's wife, Lynette, says.
Curious what happened over there. At the
he said
Roosevelt.
They were just talking.
Got to get to that.
Let's get Lynette on the phone.
What day is November 3rd? Can you figure that out, Brisket?
Friday.
Perfect. I'll be going and then sleeping in the next day. Joe Rogan coming in next on the Adam Carolla Show. We'll be right back after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
There's so many creepy old people nobody with. Like Hugh Hefner.
Look, here's my four retarded girlfriends.
The reason why there's four girls, the other three are like a support group, right? They're all in the corner dry even like... Just let me know when it's my turn. It's okay, sweetie. He's gonna get you on VIP. Whatever. He's got it right here. I'm coming out of his asshole.
Joe Rogan on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, we've had Hugh's girlfriends in here a few times. They try to keep a straight face when you ask them, well, who sleeps with them and who has to sleep with them? And do you play rock, paper, scissor, or do you just rotate? And they're like, oh, no, we love him. But it's like, come on, sweetie.
One time I did that bit at the Comedy Store, and he showed up right after I got off stage with seven of them. They all like came in like in his big entourage.
Did you?
The seven girls.
Did they miss it? Or
yeah, they totally missed it. You know what? I don't do that bit anymore. I was actually just talking to her about it before we got on. I think I stopped doing bits where I make fun of people, especially people I don't know. You know, it's like if something happens in the news, I want to poke fun at an occurrence, but I don't really kind of go after people anymore because I started thinking like, well, they're just people, you know? What do I care? You know, if they screw up or do this or do that or...
Yeah. I know,
Can you hear more sensitive music, please?
I once in a while have that reflective moment where I get PO'd about something that somebody said about me, and then I realize I sit here for 4 hours a day and talk about how much I hate Eva Longoria and I've never even met her.
Exactly.
Did you see that bitch over at the Children's Hospital with Glad Handing with the burn victim? Please, give me a break. And then I think, well, maybe she's a really fun person. Maybe I'd like to hang out with her.
Yeah, maybe.
Come on, Joe. You want a whole
maybe,
minute and a half
dude,
without
maybe,
saying
man.
Something evil. Well, I'm reading here that you said something that was not too nice about the crocodile hunter.
You know what? I didn't say something not too nice. I just said something like, I think I said, the world loses a nutty animal guy and my act gains 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a point of fact.
But you know what? That was just a flippant comment. And then I thought about it. And I was actually in the middle of writing something about it right after he died anyway. And then I decided, you know what? That's not a cool thing to say. Like, why did I say that? I don't really care, you know, that much about it. I mean, it's not like upsetting me. But I do think it's kind of screwy that people think that it's a surprise. I mean, it's a little weird that this guy, like, hangs around with crazy, wild, dangerous animals. And people are shocked by the fact that he got killed by a crazy, wild, dangerous animal.
Yeah, the over-under on it was about 3 years ago.
Did you hear Norm MacDonald's bit?
Yeah, a great line. Did mention
he
something
goes,
about
he goes,
that.
He died at 44. He goes, 44 is a ripe old age for a crocodile hunter.
It is true. There's no grandpa
crocodile
hunter.
Well, everybody's like,
hunter.
He wasn't even antagonizing the stingray. Well, guess what? If you're close enough for a stingray to sting you, you're probably antagonizing it. They don't want you hovering over them, you know?
I feel we should give animals their space. That's the way I roll. And the other thing I was thinking about when Joe was saying, well, maybe we should take it easy and not say horrible things about everybody in society. But I realize, as a comedian, you're sort of like one of these fagolas that's on the television who's supposed to go to the red carpet and talk fashion. That's what you do. You have to talk about the horrible outfits that are showing up on the red carpet. Otherwise, that's... you have nothing to say. And as a comedian, the entire world and society becomes your red carpet, and you become the gay fashionista. That's it. You have to comment on everything. And if you're just saying nice things, you're not going to be around very long.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I just don't think you have to necessarily target people. You know, I mean, there's so many events and dumb thing and people in general and people? Large groups of people.
What about people like the Puerto Ricans or the blacks?
There you go, dude. I'm down with that. Let's go.
So that's a better plan. Instead of singling out one Puerto Rican guy or one black guy.
You get a whole group of people angry at you. It's always...
I agree. We have a question for you also. Well, speaking of a people, I think we have this Carlos Mencia clip that you put together. I'd like to hear this.
What is he trying to say?
Whatever, that I suck. And so then he put a link to my website, so a bunch of his fans came on the website and, like, just put a bunch of hate mail on there. And I had to school him because I've been doing comedy longer than him.
Right, yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Yeah. If anybody took anybody's style, it wouldn't be me.
What is this all about?
This is there was a guy in a radio station in Tucson. I think his name is Frank. He's on the Frank Show or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he sent me this link because Carlos was on his radio station and he was just talking nonsense, just you know, whatever. And so this guy decided to email me the MP3. And what was really funny is everything Carlos was saying that I, you know, sat in the back of the room and watched him while he's on stage, that I'm jealous of him and all these different things. Mm-hmm. I've got a video of him while I'm on stage sitting in the back of the room, moving around, watching me. And then I've got him going on after me and bombing. And then I got all the other comics sitting around talking about how they don't understand it. Like, what are people laughing at? He's horrible. He's a terrible joke thief. And so
he steals jokes. He steals
from
other comics.
Everybody. He always has. He's got a huge reputation.
I feel like there's a lot of people that have been infamous for stealing jokes, but
there is.
Who are the top handful of joke thieves?
Well, everybody knows the Robin Williams stories. I mean,
he steals a lot of jokes.
Supposedly,
he should steal funnier jokes.
Deal is that he's stream of consciousness, and that sometimes he accidentally forgets that it's not his joke, and he just comes up with other people's.
Then
stuff.
He pays the guys who wrote the joke.
Yeah,
right?
He has to a few guys. Yeah,
Who else?
Dennis Leary is very well known for stealing Bill Hicks' act, especially. Amongst comedians.
Yes,
you know
Bill Hicks. Well, Bill Hicks is legendary for being comedian dying long before his time. I think he had lung cancer or something.
Pancreatic
cancer, but died very young. And, maybe Bill Hicks willed him his act. You don't know.
No, I know Bill's best friend.
Oh, he stole his act.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly.
Anybody else they'd like to get in
The Mystelia thing. We call him Mystelia.
Mystelia.
That's what we've always called him at the comedy show. Look, you know, I'm not the type of person who goes and says, oh, this guy sucks or that guy sucks. I really don't care. If someone likes them, you know, who's to say that country music sucks? If someone's out there liking country music, that's enjoyable for them, that's fine. I don't care. I mean, if I don't enjoy it, that's fine. There's plenty of different people, and everybody's got their own different point of view. What kills me is when people steal. And when someone steals in literature, if someone plagiarizes a book, that's big news, man. That's a big deal. And that person can get in deep trouble. They lose their job if it's at a newspaper or a magazine. Mm-hmm. But if a comic steals, everybody has this weird attitude that, like, that's normal and all comedians steal. And it's not. To come up with a bit takes a long time, and it's a long process, and you work it out on stage, and there's cuts and edits, and you have to sit and listen to it and smoke a joint and go over the recordings and go, oh, I hate that part. Ugh, I got to edit that. I got to cut. I got to get a better path to this. And then you work it out on stage again. It's a long process. So for someone to just come along and
Hold
listen
on,
to that
Dave,
and rewrite
would you start,
it.
By the way? Yeah. It's a long process. I'd like you to begin.
You've wanted me to be funny this whole time.
Yes, begin
if
that process.
If you would have clarified that from the get-go, I might have done that.
Anyway, my point is no one protects the comedians.
Yes.
The club owners don't care. Comedy Central doesn't care. HBO doesn't care. No one cares.
It's your song. I mean, if you're a band, it takes you a long time to work out your songs and get your playlist together and all that stuff, and they're ripping it off.
Right, but if a guy comes out with a song, and then someone comes out with the same song 2 years later, they can go to court, and it can be a big deal.
Right.
That doesn't happen with comedians.
That's
Nobody
what
gives
I'm
it
saying.
The
it's
same kind
prove.
Of credit.
We have a clip from a little, I don't know, documentary you made where you went to Carlos's show or went to your own show, and he followed you.
Well, that was the same thing. That was what we were just talking about earlier.
Right.
It's not. What it is my. I have a guy who works for me, works on my website, and he's the one who videotapes my show so I can go over the tapes and stuff. And he was there, and Carlos is such, he's known for such being such a thief that my camera guy started following Carlos while he was watching me to make sure that he got it on video, that Carlos is watching me on stage. So if I did any bits and then Carlos wound up doing the bits, you know, sometime in the future, we could say, look, dummy, you saw me do it. Here's the video of you watching me do it. And just because of him talking on this radio station, we decided to compile this little video showing what he actually did in comparison to what his audio was saying.
Well, let's listen.
We're recording Carlos because he's following me and he's bombing.
You can't say Sandy. Because
he sucks.
We'll get mad at me for words that you invented. Can't laugh at shit.
The country is retarded because this guy has his own television show.
Oh, yeah, we had to do some beeping because he was cussing in the background, I guess. But really, you were sort of Crocodile Hunter-esque, the comedian hunter. You're hiding in the bushes.
Well, it's one of those weird things where
he
shows up.
The wily, thieving comedian in his natural habitat.
He shows up at the Comedy Store every now and then, and every time he shows up, everybody just goes, ugh. Because it's like we have a vampire amongst us, and he's allowed to work there because Mitzi, you know, she's been around a long time, and she's not there.
Owns the Pauly Shore's mom,
yeah,
Mitzi.
And Mitzi Shore, who owns a Comedy Store, and, you know, she's the one who named him in the first place, and she allows him to go up. And so all the comics have to sit that.
She named him
watch.
Carlos Mencia?
She's the one who told him to go with that name because she thought it would ingratiate him with the Latino community.
Yeah, what?
His name's Ned. His real name is Ned Holness.
And he is not Mexican.
Not at all.
Right.
No, he claims he's half Mexican now. When I knew him when I first came to L.A., he always told me he's half German and half Honduran. So I don't know if something happened to change Honduras to a part of Mexico. Or
no, it isn't.
He does
have 19 brothers and sisters,
though,
right?
I bet he does.
I say it makes him an honorary Mexican.
Okay.
That's the way I roll. Well, that's not racist. I like when people announce whatever they said that was just racist 10 seconds. And that's not racist. All right?
It's just fact.
Let's try that. I'll kick you in the nuts and then I'll explain I didn't kick you in the
nuts.
There
is no racial bigotry here.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
You got a question for Joe Rogan?
I got a question for Joe Rogan.
What's up, Kevin?
I want to know when. I saw in the newspaper down here in San Diego that you were coming down here with Charlie Murphy. I just want to know when and where.
It is, you know, that's a very good question. I don't know where it's at, though.
It's at the Copley Symphony Hall.
This week, this Thursday?
This Thursday.
Okay,
Charlie Murphy, who also claims to be Mexican, although I'm not buying this one. He's related to Eddie Murphy.
He may have painted himself. But Adam, about this Carlos Mencia, when he was on your show, there's further proof that he's not Mexican.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember what his sister's name was, or one of his 24 sisters?
No, what was it, Sheila?
Dorca.
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 Don't you remember with Dorca?
Yeah, not a Mexican name.
Well, there's a video on YouTube where he admits he's not Mexican from one of his early specials.
Another question, Joe. How tall are you, man?
5'8". I'm short.
5'8".
I'm built like a Neanderthal.
Yeah.
Those guys on that other show tower over you.
Yeah, everybody towers over me, dude.
What's my
genetic roll of the dice? I'm short and my hair's falling out.
Yeah, but he's...
Well, that and you're extremely hairy, my wife
but
said.
But he's a powerful
man. Your wife
man.
Said, whoa, holla. What's up with that, buddy?
Hey, you should have...
Your wife knows
guy.
How hairy I am? What's going on, dude?
Well, you wear short-sleeve shirts on that television show, man.
What? This sounds oddly erotic. Do you have your pants on, sir?
Well, they are right now. I'm on my way to work, yeah.
On your way to work. Okay. You got your hand in your pocket looking for change there, fella?
I'm playing pocket pool, buddy.
There's something weird about you talking about your wife knowing that I'm hairy. I don't know what it is.
Hey, listen, man, in all honesty, I think you're absolutely hilarious.
Well, thank you, man.
And I watched that fighting show. I wish you would have put that guy in a chokehold or a guard or something.
Oh, you mean on Fear Factor? Oh, okay.
Which guy? What happened?
Oh, we had some guy from The Amazing Race. That's also on YouTube. YouTube, my new favorite site. There was this guy from The Amazing Race who was arguing with his wife on the show, and while they were arguing, one of the other contestants, this kid Johnny Fairplay from Survivor.
Oh, Johnny Fairplay, yes.
Hilarious. Hilarious guy. he's just so great, and he was yelling at the guy like, dump her, Jonathan, you can do better! And they're screaming at each other, you effing bitch, you dummy, you this. And
right.
It it was horrible. Anyway, they get off the, they get done with the show with the stunt. They come back to the group of contestants, and the woman, this woman Victoria, punches the guy Johnny Fairplay in the stomach, like full blast, and knocks him down.
Good.
And I go, what are you doing? I go, just because you punch your husband doesn't mean you can punch other people. And so the guy got in my face and like, hey, 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 and I said something retarded like, no, hey, hey, hey. It was like the worst, you know, because it was all just animal noises. It was at that point when he got like an inch away from my face, it was just, you know, it was like both of us were just, I thought it was going to be, you know, I thought he was going to hit me for sure. So I pushed him and then I got him in a headlock.
Well, the thing about Joe Rogan is he's built like a bottle jack. Sure, a balding bottle jack, but a bottle jack nonetheless.
What's a bottle jack?
It's about this. It's this high, but it can lift 10,000 pounds. It's strong. It's leverage. And I was talking to a buddy of mine, who goes to this new mixed martial art gym over there. They opened a new one in Hollywood.
Legends
gym. We'll give him a plug. And he said, "Yeah, I saw Joe Rogan in there, and he was grappling with a guy that was a very strong grappler, and he was doing well against him. Maybe better than the guy was doing against him. So you don't want to mess with Joe Rogan."
I've been
Rogan.
Doing jiu-jitsu since 1996. And I've been doing martial arts since I was about 7 years old, so 32 years.
And not that phony Elvis stuff either. Not the part where you break a piece of dried pine along the grain, but the real stuff, the ass-kicking stuff, the stuff where you strangle a guy with his own ponytail.
Well, you're good at the, you're good at the boxing. Who would win in a head-to-head between the two?
He would take me down and choke me out, I fear.
I don't think I would do that to you, dude.
Well, no, but if you were so inspired. If I went and punched Johnny Fairplay in the belly, who I would like to punch. Now, Johnny Fairplay is the guy from Survivor with the blonde hair.
That dude's hilarious.
He is great because they did like Family Week on, they did on Survivor about the middle of the show. They do this thing where they fly everyone's relatives in from out of town, and then they play for prizes to see who can spend a couple hours with their mother or their loved one or their mom. He said that his grandmother just died. That was the news he just got, and that's why she couldn't come. His grandmother had died years ago or was still alive. Either way, he lied to everybody in his tribe, tried to hold the tears back, saying that grandma, that he just found out, that through Jeff Probst, he found out that his grandmother died, and everyone said, please take our gifts, take our blankets, take our lanterns, take our toothbrush.
Dude, somebody needs to get that kid a show. He's hilarious.
He lied to everyone, saying a loved one died and collected all the booty. What a job. We need to take a break. Joe, can you hang out with us?
For sure.
Joe Rogan here. Joe is with the Bud Light Real Men of Comedy Tour. He's coming to a town near you. You can go to joerogan.net if you want to find out where he's going to be and when he's going to be there. We'll take a quick break. Are we going to do news when we come back? And, Joe, you want to hang in through the news?
For sure.
We'll do more Joe, and then we'll do news and sports. God love you. We'll be right back with Joe Rogan after this.
Recently on Fear Factor, host Joe Rogan gets into a brawl with a contestant.
Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? You can't assault people. What are you doing?
Oh, but he is funny.
He's yelling at you. You can't run up to him and hit him. Look, if you and your husband hit each other, that's one thing. You don't run up and hit other contestants.
Yelling at his wife the entire time, he's sticking up for her.
He got in Joe's face.
Oh my God!
And then all of a sudden they start going at it, and I was like, "All right, I gotta break this up because Joe's gonna kill him."
I would have to say that Joe Rogan is about 100 times tougher than Jeff Probst.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Yep, it's happened to the best of us. Joe Rogan in studio. Bud Light Real Men of Comedy Tour coming to a town near you. We have some questions for Joe. Joe, I was reading on the card here. I must have known this before, but you were a strip club DJ for a while?
No, never. No. I don't know why that says that. I did MC at a strip club once, one night, in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. It was a jack.
That song was out there.
I got a black belt in taekwondo. I'll take your ass downtown. No. Tell you, the other thing I'm going to drop, the gi's going to drop, and so is the linen, ladies. Come on now. Shake that money maker. How did that go?
It's a horrible gig. It was one of the worst gigs ever. It was a Jack and Jill strip club, which means that the guys go to dance and the girls go to dance. And it's one of those, you ever been like driving across country and you stop by some weird spot? It says like live nude and you go, oh, what the hell could be in there? It was just like one of those places. And the guy had like these horrible tattoos and he had like bandanas wrapped around the tattoos to cover him. He was at least 40. And the woman had the, well, I'll never forget this snake tattoo she had on this cheese-ridden ass of hers. Her ass was like just a bag of nickels and fluid, and it had this horrible snake tattoo that looked like it had been carved in by a retard on acid. It was hilarious. And this woman goes up and does her thing, and the guy goes up, and in between I was supposed to do comedy. And to say I bombed, like to bomb, like, you know, when you bomb, you kind of get like, no one else laughs. There was nothing. I mean, there was the people in the audience, was like maybe four couples or five couples. They were all spread out and they were just staring at me.
Bring cheesy snake ass up here again. I need a laugh.
The only saving grace was this dude that was in the audience that was from New Jersey, who was in town because he was doing some construction project, and it just happened to be near the job site, and he wandered in, and me and him played pool, and we were just talking like, can you believe this place? Like,
this what is this? Oh, it's not gay, please. This is the early days of comedy. I gotta say, you know, I've seen some bad strippers in my day, too, and I feel like you should have to renew your license. Like you do, well, when you're old, you got to go in and get that license thing after 80 to make sure your eyesight's not bad. They have it for fighters. Boxers won't be licensed. Like, look, you were beaten to a pulp your last three fights. You've lost by knockout. You've been knocked out in the first round of your last 10 fights. We're not going to license you. You have to hang up your gloves. You can't fight anymore. There should be that for strippers.
Should, but you got to take into account there's some people that like some weird stuff. And if you go on the internet, you can see how many people like weird stuff. And there's dudes out there that like older women or fat women or gross women.
They
feel intimidated.
Yes.
I had a friend of mine who I can't mention any names because he's a anyway. He would go to strip clubs.
Bob Saget, say
Kevin James. He would go to strip clubs. Okay. He would like the women who are less attractive because he would think that they actually have like he has a shot with them. He doesn't like the really pretty ones.
I understand that. I understand when your self-esteem isn't that great, or maybe you're just very realistic. You took a look in the mirror.
He's more realistic.
Yes, you're no Adonis.
Real. He doesn't want to be lied to.
I'd rather go home with, I'd rather set my sights on a 4.5 and score than be up here with this pie in the sky 8s and 10s and not go home with anything.
Well, that's where fetishes come from, right? You have like a sexual, you have an imprint. Your sexual imprint is like whatever, whether it's feet or, a girl with purple hair, whatever
snakes.
It is, you know, short hair,
what
snakes,
about,
anything.
What about the ones where they crush insects? Have you guys seen this one?
No.
Women, beautiful women stomp on like cockroaches and stuff in high heels. And then there's another one, and maybe this is another YouTube one a friend of mine was telling me about, farting in the face.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Yes, it's a Brazilian fart porn site.
Is it at least called something like a Dirty Sanchez? Does
no,
that have a nickname?
No, it's just farts.
It's not good.
A bunch of women farting pucker and, I can't say that?
I don't know
the
what you could say.
That's
I think
you
we
see
got
the area that the poop comes out of, and it's... It's,
that's
isn't it funny that that's okay to say? And, you know, and the women's like, and then there's two versions. There's and then there's another version where they just get sick. They're like disgusted. They're farting in their face. They can't deal with it at all. They're gagging, and you can see saliva and tears, so it's real, you know? And so it's both. Enjoy the farts.
Slow down because I'm about to have a little eruption myself.
Geez, Louise.
Just hearing Joe Rogan talk about it has gotten me excited.
Dude, just go online. Search away,
baby.
Well,
I found something on Wikipedia. There's a crush fetish in which, you know, people like to see buttocks or feet crushing things. So I guess bugs could be one of those things.
How about balls? Have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, there's so many where guys just get them stomped on. They do it on purpose. They pull it back and the woman will just stomp on them. It's all over the internet, man.
I remember
so many of them.
I remember I was talking to, I think it was it Joe Rose? Who used to do the sideshow circus?
Jim Rose?
Jim Rose. Right. I'm thinking of Joe Rogan. It was Jim Rose. I was speaking to him once. We were at some weird thing for Korn. For some reason, I used to travel around with the band Korn years ago and do all their speaking engagements. I have no idea what my connection to Korn was, but somehow it was Adam and Korn. And we were at some thing where we were doing an in-studio or in-store thing, and I was with Jim Rose. And I was asking Jim, you know, about the life on the road, the crazy circus and stuff. And I said, well, you have enough money in the bank. You're out on the road 250 days out of the year. I mean, don't you miss your family? Don't you want to go home to your family? And he said, no, my wife travels with me. She's right by my side the whole time. Oh, that's nice. You don't hear about that. Yeah, she shoots fire out of her vagina. I thought, wow, that's nice. And then I thought, how pissed is her gynecologist? You know what I mean? Like, when your doctor tells you to quit smoking, he does it with a certain degree of anger. But when you're a gynecologist and this woman is using her vagina as a flamethrower, you must be indignant.
What's involved in using your vagina as a flamethrower?
What isn't involved? That's the real question. I don't know. I didn't get into the details of it with him. I was later on contacted by, like, the Fresno Police Department, because later on after I left, it turns out he got up on stage at an in-store in, like, Tower Records in front of a bunch of 12-year-old Korn fans and tied his schwanz into a knot.
Oh.
And now there was a lawsuit.
Oh.
And they needed to know what I knew about it.
The vagina is one of the most underutilized things in the world. Like, it never fully reaches its potential. How many people reach that?
All right,
that
we
was
got
a flash
again.
Oh, what did we go there?
It's not much of a science, the flashing thing. But yes, we're talking about the folks that can shoot ping pong balls.
Well, we're talking about the potential, what a woman can do with her nether regions.
So we're wasting.
Now, some women have amazing power. Ping pong balls, like, most women just kind of like let it just hang out. And
yeah.
We do the Kegels.
Let me tell you something, ladies. We have puppetry of the penis. You have the vagina monologues. Hello? You're just talking about it? We actually pull our stuff out and make little marionettes out of it.
You actually have a method where you can increase the tension in that area. Mm-hmm. No, if a guy could have a method that would make his, you know, like if there was like a machine at the gym that could make your penis bigger, there would be one line, it would be for that machine, and that's it. There would be a line around the block. If you could come up with a machine that would make your penis bigger, that would be the biggest invention in the history of the human race.
Well, there'd be another line. It'd be by the Purell dispenser. Those would be the only two lines. You know how it's polite to wipe down after you do some bench press. When you do the penis enlarger, you really need to mop that area. Joe Rogan is in studio. Let's see if we can find some questions for
what's bleachable
Joe Rogan.
And what's not. It's very bizarre.
Again, not a science. Derek? Question for Joe Rogan?
Yeah, I was just wondering where I could find some of his older stuff, like the stuff he did about Anna Nicole Smith and like his.
There's a CD.
Mencia's doing it. You just go see Mencia.
I think he's already moved on from that material.
Oh, really?
I actually have a new CD that's coming out really soon. I just recorded it a couple of weeks ago in San Francisco, and it's my best stuff ever. It's going to be called Shiny Happy Jihad, and that'll be out like sometime I think in January or something. But my old one's called I'm Going to Be Dead Someday, and you can get it online or on Warner Brothers or something like that. But I can't even. It's comedy's a weird thing. Like when you have old stuff, you try to listen to it, it's just like, ugh. Even if other people are laughing, I can't listen to it.
You know, I think comedians feel about their own material like women feel about their old boyfriends.
like, they can't believe they did that?
You talk to a woman, you know, women have a visceral reaction. Like, you bring up women, you go, yeah, remember Ted from 2 years? Oh, they'll shake, whereas guys do that thing where it's like, remember Charlene? Oh. If I could get one more shot at that, that's just one more. I should have done it an extra time. They're lamenting that they didn't do it one extra time. If only there was some sort of 401k plan for old girlfriends, or I could have just put some aside for a rainy day. But women, they get that.
Like you have a contract, you can pull it out. Remember, we promised any time, any place. We have one.
We did say the one.
Give you 8 hours notice.
Yeah, I mean, it is the difference. Women definitely get that. Yeah, what was I thinking? I can't believe I did that. And guys are like, God damn, just one more shot. All right, I don't want to talk too much. My wife's going to listen. Listen, I love you, baby, but you technically can't be on the one more shot list if I could do it tonight. You know what I mean? If we broke up, you can get on the one more shot list and you would be at the top of it. But for now, we're married. I mean, for the foreseeable future. I mean, forever. There could be a dirty bomb that goes off or something. I don't know what the future holds. That's all
meteors.
I'm saying. That's right.
There's a lot of meteors in orbit.
That's right. You've seen the movies. Joe Rogan. Joe, nice job. JoeRogan.net. is where you go to find out where he's going to be next on his Bud Light Real Men of Comedy tour.
The Irvine Improv on Friday and the Copley Theater in San Diego on Thursday, and then I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
All over the country. It's been interesting.
Punch in and figure out where he's going to be and go see him. And then you see Mencia doing the same thing a year later. Thank you, Joe. Always
Thank you,
good
man.
To see you.
Always
we'll be back
here, man.
With news.
Yes.
What's in it, T?
Well, Jessica Simpson and Rachel Ray, two great tastes that don't taste great together.
Oh, really? All right. We'll look forward to that after this.
Shorter breaks, longer rants. More Adam after this. The Adam Carolla Show. What's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Check this show for tomorrow. Comedian Harlan Williams. He's in that new movie Employee of the Month with Dane Cook. That guy's hilarious. Jean-Claude Lamar. Ooh la la, wee wee.
Oh ho ho.
Director and star of Color of the Cross. Never heard of it. Hope there's boobs in it. Also, Mr. Brightside and Dave's Jerk List. It's going to be hot. Late.
Thank you, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
He knows what the kids like. We are going to get to the news and then some commentary by me. Yes, a very rare bit of commentary from the Iceman. Normally, I do a lot of traffic copping on the show, you know, taking calls,
throwing to break.
Joe Rogan, throwing to break, but I'm going to give and share some of my own views. Be nice. First, Mark the Poet has a poem about Teresa. Mark.
Oh. Good morning, Ace Man.
Good to speak to you, Mark. Let's hear that poem.
Thank you. Good morning, Dave. Teresa, this one's for you.
Thank you.
Welcome. Sultry and seductive goddess, you've got it going on. Beyond the pain and suffering of Our Lady Babylon, could you be with someone, both a lover and a fighter? Ever see yourself being romantic with a rider? Really, the sounds of your ex-boyfriends perplex me. Fashion police, T, you're under arrest for being sexy. Hatch an idea like a babe in an egg. Match an equal opposite point, I pray not beg. Dispatch, carry out, in staring thin beauty. Then let's go dance so I can see you shake your booty. No wonder Teresa, the L.A. Press Club picks. Columnist of the year, 2006. Ahoov, I adore thee, I can't pretend. And I know how to wine and diet a lady, girlfriend. Visions of bed, planting ideas in your head. Proving poetry and chivalry both are far from dead.
Wow.
I've just sucked 1 year of your life away.
I liked it.
No, Mark, that was solid.
Thank you.
Nice job.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You know, Mark, the poet I've met, and there's nothing wrong with him. I mean, he's insane, other than the clinical depression. Physically, he's an attractive man.
It's true. We could end up living on a futon together on the streets of Seattle.
I could see you two, and whereas you two together would be a horrible couple, your offspring would be interesting.
Yes,
I would like to meet your children, not you guys, but I'd like to have your children over for dinner. All right, T, what's in the news, beautiful?
John Mark Carr.
Yeah.
He's back. The former suspect in the killing of JonBenet Ramsey is now saying he never confessed to anything. He made the rounds of the TV talk shows last night, including Larry King Live. Here he is.
Let's set it straight. Are you saying you never said you harmed a child?
I'm saying that I believe that you're leading into an area that...
But it's simple, John. You either said I did or said I didn't. I'm not asking
well,
about
I
it.
I am saying that I've never harmed a child.
Okay.
Saying it right now,
okay.
I'm saying that I would protect any child who I thought was being harmed.
I can't believe Madison Avenue is not banging down this guy's door. I would have him, Wheaties, Pepsi, everything. This guy would be everywhere if I was on Madison Avenue.
He does have an all-American looking face.
I would ask, if I was John Mark Carr, I would ask this simple question to Larry King. And then I have a simple question for our own Teresa Strasser involving these two. First is, I would say, Larry, you're what, 130, 140 years old? Your wife is 29, 30? What's the difference in age between you and the woman you live with? I would say it's less of a chasm than me and the boys I like the goose. Touche, old man.
That would have been
because there's
good.
About 70 years between you and your ironically named old lady who's at home, whereas with me, I'm 34, they're 11. Do the math. And now, Teresa, your question. I pose this in the 6 o'clock hour. One night of passion. John Mark Carr or a buzzard.
This is horrible.
And here's the thing about Larry King. As I've described, John Mark Carr will do you in the nude. He will be completely naked. But He will have his acoustic guitar slung over his back. That much I know. Larry King will be wearing dress shoes, patent leather, loafer, black socks with sock garters. He will be wearing old white underpants, old man underpants with the suspenders attached to the underpants and pulled up. Extra tension on the suspenders with the phallus pulled out through the left leg.
And I'd have to have sex with him in that outfit.
Glasses on.
What if he turned to ash, as you've mentioned before, might happen?
No, if you snapped a suspender, right. Yes, he would turn to ash.
That's right.
I do believe there'd be a pile of ashes. One night of ecstasy. One night with one or the other.
Well, if there was a bullet to my head and yes. I had to make a decision, I would take the bullet.
No.
That completes this hour of the Larry King Live scene. Tomorrow night, a look at the life and times of the Ramses. The tragedy of the Ramses. Tomorrow night.
That's
him breaking wind.
He broke wind on the air.
He might do it when he's ready. Larry, come on. No bullet. Larry Jenmark.
Cheers.
I can't. I can't.
I hope Larry King's wife is listening right now. That must be nice.
He's a respected journalist.
Mm-hmm.
Been in the business a long time, and I respect him and admire him.
He's just not attracted to the man.
Let's move on.
I think you'd be with John. You spoke earlier in the show. You said you'd be with the pedophile.
Well, the thing is, I'm way too old for him, but I think you're right. The chasm in age between him and the little boys and girls he diddles, mm-hmm. allegedly, that's probably a fraction of the distance between Larry King and his wife.
Thus, it's healthy.
Right. Exactly where I was going
that's
with
right.
that.
I hear you.
Well, more on nudity.
I don't know if I agree with your hypotheses, but okay. Let's keep moving forward.
Let's move forward. Another story involving nudity. Thank God it's not Larry King. Mm. It's Christina Aguilera.
Mm-hmm.
She spoke to Cosmopolitan magazine, and of course they ask her, you know, how she keeps her marriage hot, and she talked about a thing called Naked Sundays. What does this involve? According to her, quote, you just lie in bed all day and chill with each other and do things that husbands and wives do. We love our coziness.
I wish one of these chicks would just be honest. They go, what keeps your relationship hot and sexy? I'm hot and I let my husband bang me.
Well, they also have a thing called taco night, which is not dirty as you would think it would, but he cooks the meat and she chops the tomatoes and lettuce, and it's important that they make time to nurture their relationship, according to her.
I thought that's what they're going to name the stadium over there in Phoenix.
I think it is, the Pink Taco. Cooking diva Rachel Ray and her audience asked Jessica Simpson some pretty hard-hitting questions yesterday, beginning with this one.
What is your go-to comfort food?
I do love Velveeta.
Velveeta! Nice!
I have to say that. Or chicken fried steak is a
chicken
good one.
Chicken fried
for
steak's
me.
Another good one. Those are two good comfort foods.
And also, who's Jessica Simpson's secret crush?
Johnny Depp made this surprise appearance, and I said all the wrong things, and I ended up saying, okay, I'm going to shut up now and walk away. And to him, and to, you know, to his face, and it's just embarrassing.
I'm sure he thought that was charming.
Listen, first off, Velveeta. You want to talk about albino trash? That's opaque trash. Light passes through her. That's so white trashy. Velveeta, the non-cheese cheese, the liquid form of chemical cheese. Really? My dog turns a nose up to Velveeta. My dog eats its own fecal matter, but when I show it some Velveeta, no thank you, Molly says. By the way, my wife delighted that Molly beat me in the football pick.
I knew she would.
And then she did that thing where she talks to the dog. But, you know, when you talk to the dog, you're talking to the person that's sitting next to you. You're so smart. You're so much smarter than Adam. He went 0-4 in his picks. You went 3-1. That must mean you're jockey. Listen, sweetie. Drop the charade. I know you're talking to me through the dog.
Communicating through the dog.
Yes.
That's effective.
Yeah.
Now, Halloween's coming up, and of course, we'll be at the Playboy Mansion on the 26th. I don't know if you guys have costumes. Every year, I find it to be a nightmare choosing something, but they've come out with a list. Well, it's funny.
My wife also decided I'd be going as a terrorist to Cousin Sal's costume party, and I was like, well, what's that entail? A big beard and a wig. Look, I'm going to be eating. I'm going to be boozing. I don't want the big beard. Well, what do you want to go as? Well, what day is it? What is it, in 2 weeks? I'll figure it out that day.
No, but you don't want to be the night before going through your closet, and then next thing you know, I'm always a flasher because you just wear a coat.
That's what I always do, though. Yeah, I put on a cowboy hat and I fashion a codpiece out of foil and I'm like, screw it. I'm showing up.
Well, here are the top costumes according to the National Retail Federation that you'll be seeing this year. In the top 10 is, of course, pimp, because that's another one you can do right out of your closet with no planning. This is for men.
Mm-hmm.
In the top 4, Star Wars characters, vampires, superheroes, and number 1 this year, pirates.
I just thought of a good one. I think I could do, because, you know, Cindy, my wife, is much shorter than I am. I am going to go as John Mark Carr. Mm-hmm. I need some Ed Grimley pants. Just some Ed Grimley pants and a fanny pack. Yeah,
she should be
a youngster. Oh, or Jean Bonnet, even better, yeah.
It's recognizable.
Now, that's getting a little morbid, Teresa, don't you think?
Sorry.
Why don't you and John Mark Carr go off on one of your love affairs?
Larry King.
They made me do it.
Yeah, just you put up a little wind-up beanie on your wife. You hike your pants up and button your shirt up to the top button, and there you go.
And I'll ravage
her. Well, what are women going to be wearing on Halloween? As well as the ever-popular JonBenet suit. In the top 10 are Star Wars. I think a lot of people still do the Princess Leia thing.
Chicks, number 1 or in the top 5 or whatever? Star Wars?
Yes. Number 6, vampire. 5, nurse. And then 4, we've discussed this before, sexy costumes. The sexy farmer or the sexy whatever. Mm. Number 3, superhero. Number 2, witch. And number 1, pirate wench.
Hmm. Yeah, it must be that whole Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, I think so, too. It's an unfortunate trend.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, if you think of any good costumes, let me know. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
You're quite the little chatterbox tonight, ain't you?
Thanks.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
A quick programming note, Jerkless tomorrow, which of course is nothing without your contributions. You can share them by calling the Jerk Hotline, 323-930-7318. I expect that we'll get many calls for Arizona Cardinals kicker Neil Rackers, who missed a 40-yard field goal at the end of the game, which would have given the Cardinals, massive underdogs to the mighty Chicago Bears, the victory. Matt Leinart, former USC QB, looked dynamite through three quarters. It was in the bag. Then two defensive touchdowns. Then a punt return cost them the game. Very sad stuff. But tough times down in Miami, Florida, too. Did you see that rumble on the field the other day, last Saturday, between the University of Miami and Florida International? Guys hitting each other with helmets, stomping each other, other guys down. It was better than any Royal Rumble the WWF ever threw. 30 players from the two teams suspended or kicked off the teams, extended all the way up into the University of Miami broadcast booth. Take a listen to former Miami receiver Lamar Thomas, who's now the analyst.
Now that's what I'm talking about. You come into our house, you should get your behind kicked. You don't come in the OB playing that stuff. You're across the ocean over there. You're across the city. You can't come over to our place talking noise like that. You get your butt beat. I was about to go down the elevator and get in that thing.
The height of professionalism.
Yes.
The shame is that he's been fired. It's a tough week for...
Look, we need, whether it's Lions or whether it's this guy, it's called color commentary. Let's hear it. You know what I mean? I don't want some guy up there with a governor over his mouth. I want a guy who's going to blab and say something
horrible.
Kick him
in the head!
Yes!
Well, like you say, Steve Lyons also has been fired from Fox because he was sharing the broadcast booth with Lou Piniella, who's of Latino descent. He talks some Spanish. Steve Lyons responded by saying that he was afraid that Lou Piniella was going to steal his wallet. Mm. So he's been kicked off the broadcast booth. Apparently, he's keeping his job with the Dodgers. And like you say, just as well, there's a long history of this sort of stuff with broadcasters. Of course, Howard Cosell made the comment back in the early 80s about Redskins receiver Alvin Garrett. He called him a little monkey. He just meant that as a term of affection. Mm-hmm. And then, but who could ever forget Marv Albert? I mean, he's really the worst of the worst. I mean,
yeah, I think people know him from the whole hooker
sex thing and
biting thing, but they forget about this.
It obscured this stuff. I mean, listen to him just last season doing an NBA game.
Kobe Bryant throwing it down with authority like only a colored man can.
What?
Yeah,
that's outrageous. And then somebody sent me that one, and then that started me digging up the old ones, like when he was doing the Olympic coverage on the diving competition. Take a listen to this one.
Another perfect 10 for Greg Louganis. That homo is on fire.
fire.
Wow.
I mean, cute double entendre, I guess, the on fire thing with the gay, but still.
I hope he says something horrible about the Asians so that nutjob Guy Aoki can go crawl up his ass.
Well, so far, nothing about that. But then this one, I don't even know what this, context is. I'm not even sure the context on this one, but just take a listen to this one.
Was Hitler right? Yes!
Was Hitler right? Yes. What kind of thing is that?
What sport was he even watching?
I have no idea, sir.
That's a shame.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right. Well, quickly, Ozzy's got to come in here. Ozzy, who says he had 16 shots of whiskey not 12 hours ago at some party. And I said, Ozzy, you drove home after having 16 shots? And he said, yes, only one way. Oh, that's refreshing. Because I'll go out and get loaded and just do a few laps around the neighborhood and come back to the house before I vomit and towel off. But he just drove home from the party drunk. And he explained with one eye.
16 shots of alcohol.
But you know what? He can take it.
Is he still drunk now?
I think he's got a mild buzz going.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. We'll bring him in here. He is going to review the movie The Marine, which I saw with Bill Simmons, the ESPN sports guy, on Saturday. Yes, just me and Bill in a empty theater over at the Arclight. Me and Bill and the inexplicable hot blonde chick that was sitting in front of us with no date and a half-eaten burger on the seat next to her who got up and left at some point in the movie, and we never did figure out what the hell she was doing there and what brought her in, and then what, well, I know what got her to leave the movie, but why was she in there in the first place? I suspect she was hiding out from her hipster friends, and that's the last place they
looked. And way in the back row, Teresa and Mark Limka.
No!
Making out.
All right, we need to take a break. I want to talk about the census because, we had our 300 millionth person who was either born or brought here to the United States. And I have some stuff to say about this. I wonder if we should do it now. I'll be quick about it, and then we'll bring Ozzy in. First off, just a little refresher. In 1850, we had 23 million people in this country. In turn of the century, in 1900, we had 76 million. 1950, we had about 150 million. So we're about half. In 1950, we're about half of where we are now. And now we're at 300 million. As you know, I don't hold out much hope for this society anymore because if you think about most of the people you know, idiots and a-holes. I mean, think about your neighbors. Think about any house you've ever lived in. Think about any apartment you ever lived in. Think about the nutty effers that were living across the street, above you, or below you. These are these people. And here's the thing. It's not like since 1950 we have 150 million of the best and the brightest. We got the sploozers. Yes, part spaz, part loser. Sploozer. Remember we talked to Cletus, the white trash? White trash guy didn't think it'd be a great job to work. It'd be a great idea to work, but it'd be a great idea to crap out kids. His girlfriend chain smoking while she's pregnant with the twins. These are the kids that are coming. We're taking the rest of the world's unemployable folks. We're taking the poorest and the least educated, and then we're crapping out the worst we can do, too. All I ask you is, future-wise, shouldn't we slow this tide down a little bit? I mean, let's do the math. Let's look at it this way. Forget about we're talking about this country. Forget about we're talking about a society. Let's just talk about a school. What makes a bad school? What makes a school that you don't want your kid to go to? Too many kids? Too many kids from the wrong side of the tracks? Too many kids fighting? Too many kids effing? Too many folks there not to learn, but to sort of be warehoused? Isn't that what makes a bad school? Isn't that the very definition of a bad school? Is the reason you'd like your kid to go to a nice little private school where they could get some one-on-one attention for that very reason? Well, why not send them up the street to the public school? Overcrowded. Too many people. There's 40 kids per classroom. Can't get any learning done. Too busy just trying to control the kids in the classroom. Now think about society, everybody. Isn't that the direction we're heading? Aren't we turning into a big, crappy public school? Isn't that where we're going? I miss the private school.
I'm falling.
What was I talking about?
Somebody hit him with the dart known as the Mark. John Mark Carr.
Jesus,
song.
I'm sweating. Brasco, why am I sweating? I'm just sitting back listening to some tunes. Just thinking about summer. I smell cinnamon. Does anyone smell cinnamon? Someone cooking? Hey, you making pop-ups, T? I smell something. Well, I'm going to drink some sweet tea. You guys with me?
This song is the salve on your emotional wounds.
Yeah,
it heals all.
It obliterates the pain. I mean,
but the song's always been playing, right?
Yes.
Why am I red?
Yes.
I feel like I'm red in the face.
Been on all day.
Oh. Okay. Well, I'm a good buddy. 300 million people here. I think we got bleeped out for some reason there. Figure out what that was. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Ozzy, the great Oswaldo, is going to come in here and review the movie The Marine. Finally, one I've seen that he's going to review so I can walk him through it. We'll do that after this.
Welcome back to Guess the Movie Quote. Did you guess which movie this famous line is from?
I am king in the world.
If you said Titanic,
I'm the king of the world!
You're correct. Thanks for playing. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
What's going on, Ozman?
Good morning, everybody. How are you today?
My dear long-time partner, I should say. Oswaldo Castillo does the movie reviews. I've known Ozzy for, well, I'd say about 17 years now. I guess we met building a gym together in Pasadena somewhere around 1994, something like that. Maybe it hasn't been that long. When did we meet?
1993.
93?
Yep.
Okay. Well, it's coming up on 14 years, I guess.
And you said, Adam, that Ozzy was the nicest of all the guys you worked with.
I liked Ozzy, mainly because I couldn't understand him. A lot of the other guys I could understand. Yeah, me and the kid, I'm taking the kid to the lake. We're going to get the jet ski. You want to come to the lake? A lot of jackasses you swing hammers with. You think about how stupid just your average guy is who's sitting next to you on a bus and how much you don't want to talk to him. Go 10 times that on a construction site. But Ozzy, God bless you. I couldn't understand a goddamn word you were saying. Still don't.
Yeah, thank you too.
Did you just call my mom a whore?
No.
Okay. What's up, my brother?
Good, very good.
All right, you got a movie?
Yeah.
Well, let's kick it off.
Okie dokie.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
The movie that I saw this weekend was The Marine.
The Marine.
The Marine star John Cena is John Triton.
John Triton. They always do that thing with the first name. We'll name him John. John Lawman. You know, they always do that thing where the guy's name, and they'll be like, name, ammo clip. John Ammo Clip. Okay, so that makes it okay now because you have a regular first name? Yes. John Triton. He was a good Marine. They drummed him out of the Corps. He didn't follow orders, of course. He had to save lives. It was one of those things. Sorry, Ozzy, I'm sorry, but I saw this one too, so you're ass out of luck here. The movie starts with him in Iraq. He's going to get some of his men out, and they're going to be executed. I'm talking about the Taliban is holding a gun to the back of their heads, and they start singing to Allah, and he's on the talkie with his commanding officer, and he says, I got to go in. I got to go in now. No time for backup. And they say, no, stand down, soldier. And he's like, I don't care. These men are going down. They're cocking the trigger on the gun. So, of course, he does a shoulder roll, takes everyone out, cut to him being court-martialed. We told you not to go in. Now you're being drummed out of your core. Sure. Sure, that's the way it goes. Go ahead.
Yep. Robert Patrick is Rom.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly Carson is Kate Triton.
Kate Triton. Yes, she's the old lady. Mm-hmm.
I mean, John Cena made a best last week in the show about the Marine, coming in third place in the box office. Here is the click.
Here's the click.
Ah.
All right.
If the movie goes number one.
If it goes number one.
If it opens at number one this week in the box office, I will not only give myself an opportunity of a lifetime, but a young or old 300-pound lady one night.
Now, just
one night with the champ.
Well, he'd obviously seen the movie before he made that proclamation because me and sports guy Bill Simmons were the only two people in the theater that I saw it. Yeah.
So he's coming in sixth place.
Sixth place.
Yeah.
So he should have to perform oral on Old Woman. I agree.
He needed better.
Mm-hmm.
It's about one ex-Marine who get kicked out to the Civil Marine Corps in the Iraq War.
He gets kicked out of the Marines.
Yeah, in the Iraq War.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say the Marine left the reviewer called.
Oh, my God. Brusca told you to get to the end because we're out of time. Well, you didn't miss much. I mean, Ozzy's reviewer of the movie. We'll take a quick break. Ozzy's still riding a buzz from last night?
No, I'm driving.
Oh, okay, you don't drive truck.
Not riding a bus.
Oh, I see. I said bus. Oh, I thought I said bus. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Okay.
This is Rainn Wilson. I play Dwight Schrute on NBC's The Office, and you are listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, just enough time for a little segment we get to now and again called So What Have We Learned? Well, first thing we learned, this was an eye-opener. Teresa Strasser would rather sleep with John Mark Carr than Larry King.
Oh, love.
We also learned that if you take Larry King's suspenders and you pull it back a foot and you snap it, there'll just be a pile of dust with some bifocal sitting on top of it. That's all that'll be left of Larry King. We've learned that the Battle of Gettysburg was won by firing dog food out of Union cannons. Little known fact, learned that from John Popper. We've learned, and I taught you people this one, that women, while you guys have the vagina monologues, we as men, we have puppetry of the penis. See, you guys talk about it. We do it. You see what I'm saying? That's why we get a dollar to every 63 cents you make. While you're up there talking about your parts, we're bending ours into a pretzel, thank you. Ladies make me sick. Where was I? Oh, and we've learned that just because your first name is John when you're making a movie does not give you license to give the last name of your action hero ammo clip or death blood or Justice Berg or any of that. Please, who are you kidding?
Good times.
There you go. I want to thank Joe Rogan for coming in here today. I find his candor refreshing. John Popper and Natalie Golbus for coming in, or at least calling in as well. Tomorrow, Harlan Williams and much, much more. Dave's Jerk List. We'll take a quick 20-hour break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.